It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast insulin. Sorry, many things to discuss.
Yes.
From the occurrences of last evening.
At the Hawks game.
Yeah.
We were live at the UC and the whole team stuck around for the game.
We did. We want to thank Jay Blunk and the rest of the Chicago Blackhawks organization for hosting us. And what an amazing night it was. And let me just say this, that this Lauren Lapka is a fan that, I mean, we knew this from earlier in the week. But
yes.
This is now, I mean, I'm worried for her. I really am, because at the end of the game, right after the empty net goal to make it 3-1 with, I don't know, less than a minute left, something like that, Lauren collapsed to the ground.
Fainted, it seemed.
And collapsed to the ground and then crawled into a corner of the area that we were in. And I thought, now that is something. Is that true?
I also almost broke the window. That was an accident, though. My heel just kind of jolted back at one point. I'm telling you, I really just can't control my body. It just kind of follows the puck. Like, now that people have seen me standing watching the game, I just kind of shift.
Right.
Across.
Yeah. It's an intense experience to stand next to her.
Yeah. She skates with the players. It's a very, and we were trying to figure out if she does this for all of the sports. Uh-huh. Apparently not.
Hockey.
This is just a hockey reaction. And, well, we're going to see a doctor about that. We have doctors.
Are you okay, Lauren?
Feeling great.
Drop to the ground? Okay. We were worried.
I mean, it was like a slow slide down again. You know, when you throw like a piece of bologna at the wall? It just kind of slowly goes down eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. So,
it was devastating.
Now, yeah, and then there was a big day for the kids because both Lauren and Kevin went out to the Guaranteed Rate Field for the big food preview. And we put a video up.
So fun.
At WGNRadio.com of those two. And that's another thing. I mean, Kevin may have met his match here because Lauren, with the exception of the humble tomato, seems to really enjoy just about everything else that was going on there. So that was
definitely
good.
The messiest people there.
It's a difficult job. Someone's got to go and try all the new food at Sox Park. It was very, very tough.
And you did a really nice job with that.
You did. It's a fun video to watch.
Yes. So people can go to WGNRadio.com right on the homepage there. They can see what's going on. CLTV is giving a little preview of it right now as they stand in line. And there is a lot of... It's like that all these shows now where you get hungry just watching them.
Yes.
And I don't understand. When did that happen? Was it Kraft that made people want to watch these
things? I don't know. There's all these bake-off shows,
Putin?
And chef shows, and I enjoy them. You guys do a good job, though. Tell us what your favorite is. What's your favorite food?
Lauren?
Yeah, I think we both agreed the tacos.
Yeah. So Antique Taco is a Southside spot. There's a restaurant called Antique Taco off 35th, I believe. So they're actually opening a new, like they have stands now in the ballpark. So you can get Antique Tacos.
On the concourse?
Yes.
Get
out.
Sections 109 and 137.
Wow. And these are like authentic.
I mean, they're really, really good. Some of the best tacos I've had. They were outstanding. They had a ton of great stuff. There's Greek fries. Anna, you might like this.
Oh, I love Greek fries.
I do like Greek fries.
It's basically like a gyro on top of a bed of French fries.
You also can just get the fries, and they got the olive oil and the vinegar on them, and then the feta cheese, and look out.
They also have dessert fries. It's sweet potato fries with like chocolate syrup and Nutella, like liquefied Nutella and powdered sugar. I wish we would have tried those, because that was...
Chef Mike is in charge of that now.
Mm-hmm.
Was he out there?
He was not. One of his associates was there explaining all the new food options, including the this one's called the Triple Play Burger. Angus beef patty, fried bologna and bacon, topped with secret sauce and cheddar cheese.
Bologna.
Oh, God.
On a brioche
bun. Oh, my God. Literally just had a heart attack hearing it.
I know. That one's available in the club section up in the suites area. So there's a ton of good stuff. They also have buffalo chicken fries. That's a big thing now. It's like dressing up French fries, just your basic French fries. And they now have boozy hot chocolate and boozy hot apple cider. So those will be good for the early games in the season when it's cold, and the late games in the fall as well. So.
Yeah.
It warms you up.
Yeah.
Warms you up.
Yeah.
Warm up from the inside.
Very important. That's very important early in the season.
Yes.
It is.
I mean, if you're a Chicago baseball fan, you're a Chicago sports fan, you just know.
Right.
You're cold.
You're cold all the time. Even if you're at the United Center during a Hawks game, if you're
cold.
Not properly dressed, It was nice that Lauren was many-layered yesterday, so she was prepared properly, and the Hawks provided her with, she got her official team jersey as well.
So cool.
It might be the best gift I have ever been given in my 29 years on this earth.
Did your dad, was your dad excited? I know your dad is like a...
He was so jealous.
Well, he can borrow it.
Like,
it says Lapka.
Extra large? And I was like, no.
Oh, it looks super huge on you.
Yeah. Just a little big, but you know.
The Hawks are the best.
Yeah. So congratulations to everybody involved there, because it was quite a moment. Nice. And then we stayed a little extra late
probably too late for some of us.
Probably too late.
Yeah.
Yeah,
after the game.
I'd agree with that.
And
you can stay too late sometimes. And that was too late.
And we wanted to you know, commiserate. And there was plenty of commiseration, although they're not out of it. But now they really have to win everything.
They've got to win everything.
Yeah.
We were talking about it last night. They're not out of it because the two teams that are ahead of them, the Avalanche and Coyotes, they have three games over the next four or five days against those two teams. So if you win those three games, Hawks could have the wild card spot, believe it or not, with just nine games remaining. They're still in it.
Nine games left.
Yeah, yeah, but then they got to just keep winning.
They got to keep winning.
Yeah.
They got to win it.
They put themselves in a bad place.
They're alive.
This is exactly what my parents said to me. You put yourself in a bad place.
You there's remember those talks?
Oh, my God.
You did this to yourself, young man.
Well, Ro, there's no one to blame.
Yes.
But you.
that was exactly what they said.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I get to turn it around on them.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, there's nothing, no one you can blame but you for this. All right. Well, it was
fun. It was not the outcome we wanted for the game, but it was a wonderful night.
Had a great
still
day.
One of the best games I've ever been to.
Ton of fun.
Really? Well,
because courtesy of you guys and
right,
Blackhawks.
Okay. Well, that's nice of you to say. But
well, going with Ro to a Hawks game isn't just like going to a Hawks game. This is what we've learned.
No big deal. Ro can get you anywhere in the stadium. No big deal.
It's like, what's behind that door? What's
Kevin
over there?
Even got his own mix. I don't even know what to call that kind of mix. It's like, what is that?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Your food.
Oh, the spicy nut mix?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Did they give you a bag to take home, Kevin?
Okay, so...
I told her to give it to you.
She did, yeah. So, what...
I don't know what you can tell out of this story.
It's like a pub mix that I only can get at... They have it in the White Sox press box, and they have it at the United Center as well. And I was talking to the nice lady, Margie, who was,
she was
taking
the best.
Care of us last night.
So nice.
And I go, Margie, where can I get this particular mix? So this is a proprietary blend. You can't just get this
proprietary blend.
You can't just get this at any
nut mix.
Any store. I'm like, wow, it's so good. I'm like, the only time I get it is when I come to Blackhawks games or White Sox games. So then Margie, very nice, showed up with a little goodie bag full of the pub mix. So brought it home. I think I ate half the bag last night.
They're the best. They should put that on the concourse at Guaranteed Rate.
Right next to the
buffalo fries and the like the Greek ice cream or whatever the hell's going on.
Fries.
Over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's addicting.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway.
Great night.
We love our Blackhawks, and we are looking forward to them sweeping now and going to the playoffs. And if not, we cannot wait to be in Prague. Did I mention that we're going to Prague?
You sold that
with
hard.
The team?
And I thought it worked out pretty well at the end. Like, we got John McDonough on our side.
The entire organization is on our side.
Yeah.
Now I just got to go back here and sell it to these fine folks.
These fine folks.
It's all done. Now we just need you to pay for it.
No, but it's not just me and you and everybody on the show. Mm-hmm. It's we want to take the listeners with us to Prague.
I remember that. John McDonough packaged it up very nicely.
Yeah.
We're all on the same page there. I mean, it does make sense at this point.
Who doesn't want to do this?
Right.
Prague with the Blackhawks?
Yes.
To open the season? I mean, wow.
And notice, I'm putting it out there, so it's almost mandatory now, and then the station's going to have to make it happen.
It's like...
Right, because then it's just like, what are you doing? It's a bad look if we don't go.
Don't get us liars. We've already talked about it on the air.
This is bad for my image if we don't go to Prague. Right.
No empty promises here on the Road Country.
All right. All right, coming up, we're going to count your money. We're going to find out if we can afford to go to Prague. Coming up, Susie Sunshine's going to join us here in just a moment. Also on the program, we've got A.B. Stoddard this hour as well. There is the hottest rumor of all times that at 5 o'clock, which is Eastern, which is in about 39 minutes.
During this show.
That the Mueller report is going to drop.
It's, I mean, unbelievable. If you even just glanced at a screen of cable news today, it's like Washington on high alert, bracing for Mueller is like all the little chyrons below the picture that everyone's on standby for what they believe will be the day he releases a report. Because no one really knows. But
the president was great today, too. The president was like, people will revolt if it's bad. Right? Like, if they really? I'm not sure that's true. I think Americans want to know what happened, good or bad or whatever. They want to know.
Right. The truth.
Also, the Royal Air Force is here. They're going to be at the air show this year, and they're coming by to say hello.
Nice.
So just in case we need a foreign air force, we're good there.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to this. The Kinarba wagon's going to be here. Harry Carey's. They're going to explain what we started talking about yesterday.
The vault. The
There's
secret
something
vault.
In a vault. We'll explain it. Stay
so
tuned. That's
wild.
For the Kinarba wagon. Stay right here. First, let's check what's happening on the planet Earth with Kim Gordon. What's happening at the bottom of the hour?
Roe attorneys for R. Kelly believe he can fly, just not right now.
This week on Chicago's Best, crispy, savory, and oh so perfect, it should be its own food group. It's Chicago's Best Bacon, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
I remember when Rob was young, me and Susie had so much fun.
Here she is, Susie Sunshine from Aviva Investors. It is a London-based company. She's in Edinburgh, Scotland today, reporting in on the U.S. markets.
Ooh.
She runs U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. And thank you so much for being with us, Ms. Schmidt, or Sunshine, depending on how you want to look at this.
Well, my pleasure. And, yeah, a big day in the markets today. So we had our worst day since January. We're starting to see signs of volatility, and some of that emotion in the market is coming back. We had the market close with the S&P down almost 2%, the NASDAQ, which is the tech-heavy index, down 2.5%, and we saw a lot of interest in treasuries. So people are flocking into safety, buying up U.S. treasuries, and we saw as a result, as those prices rise, yields went down. So we're definitely seeing some concern in the market, sparked by fear overall that growth is slowing.
So the recessionary fears are sort of setting in part of this, as you just pointed out. But take us back to the Fed's announcement, because I thought that that would be more well received by Wall Street when the Fed basically said they're not projecting any further interest rate hikes for the rest of the year. I know there was some other language in there that may be contributing to this, but how much of this do you think is related to what the Fed said?
The Fed, remember that the Fed announcement came out on Wednesday. So when we heard from Chairman Powell, he was talking on Wednesday. The market actually did pretty well as he was talking and giving his press statement. And then also the market held up well yesterday. So the Fed itself came and said, we're not going to raise rates really for 2019. We looked at the notes and the minutes, the dot plot came out, and that tells you what all the people involved in the Fed, all the governors think in terms of expectations for future rates. And we saw that the expectation is that they're going to hold rates steady. Now, that's exactly what the market expected. So I think that was seen as a sigh of relief. If the Fed continues to want to be accommodative to the economy, they didn't have a message that, you know, the sky is falling, things are terrible. They really said, we're here to be supportive, and we'll take a look at how data unfolds. What happened this morning was we got some different data on the producer manufacturing index. So it's an economic statistic that comes out. We saw a very weak number for Europe, and then the U.S. number wasn't great either. So I think people looked at that and started to run with it, a little bit concerned that we're in the late innings here of a recovery. So when is the next recession or downturn going to start?
You know, what's interesting, you mentioned the Fed, that Stephen Moore, who's a regular appearer on this very radio program, has been for years. He's written a couple, Trumponomics, a book about Trump, is always on Fox News and CNN and places like that. He's been sort of a television economist for a long time. Certainly has gotten very political and cable newsy over the last number of years. Always very conservative, but now sort of giving up on his old conservative dictum about, you know, being afraid of debt and deficit and wanting to, you know, stay out of the way of the Fed. The president has nominated him now to the board of the Fed.
Yes. Very controversial. So that's going to be very interesting because the Fed tries to be separate and independent from all politics. They don't want to be seen as any sort of political organization. They are a bunch of economists who sit around and look at the underlying economic data and try to figure out policy that is meant to help and support and stabilize the U.S. economy for the long term. And so that's a very interesting appointment. It definitely is someone who's got more of a political or has had more of a political axe in the news. And so this is all developing. It's it's the president's right to nominate, and we'll see what happens as the board members coalesce and get nominated and approved into their positions. But it's very controversial.
Who votes on
we haven't
that?
Seen
they
someone.
Nominate, but who makes the decision?
Right. We're going to go back to Congress on that. And so, you know, the nomination here, I think, is just very surprising. I think it caught everyone a little bit off guard today because, again, usually when you think about it, Janet Yellen, you'd never heard of her until you found out she was going to be the successor to Ben Bernanke. And Ben Bernanke, you'd never really heard of him. So in both those cases, you know, prior chairman of the Fed, they tend to be very low-key individuals. So it's interesting that there's someone who's so high-profile and really so vocal that is being nominated to join the membership.
Right, and political, too.
Right.
You kind of like it when you don't know who they
are.
Like, well, there's just a smart person who's
exactly.
in academia, and that's who it should be.
You really, you know, the Fed prides itself on being independent, and that's really what you want. So we want them to preserve that independence regardless of, you know, the administration.
Right.
They maintain a course for the economy, and that's really important.
Because they have terms
economy,
that span
for our stock markets, for everything.
Yeah, they have terms that span different administrations. So it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But Lee Dobbs is next, and then Geraldo Rivera. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Susan
Thanks,
Sunshine,
Susan.
Susan Schmidt of Aviva Investors.
Pleasure, guys.
Thank you.
Wait, it's late for her there. Scotland.
Reporting live from
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh, Scotland. That's where she is right now. All right. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN news right now.
Think of it. I have a deputy appoints a man to write a report on me to make a determination on my presidency. People will not stand for it. Now, with all of that being said, for 2 years we've gone through this nonsense because there's no collusion with Russia. You know that better than anybody. Mm. And there's no obstruction. They'll say, oh, well, wait, there was no collusion. That was a hoax. But he obstructed in fighting against the hoax.
There's the president setting up for what may be in 20 minutes from mark, the release of the Mueller report.
That's what it seems like. Seems like this could be the night.
A.B. Stoddard is going to join us to tell us if she thinks that this might be the night as well. And, you, of course, you can read A.B. Stoddard. She is the editor of the what started right here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Did it not? I think it did, didn't it? Didn't Real Clear Politics start right here?
I believe it's started by a Chicago person.
Yes, I think it did.
So,
all right, hold on. Let me get the phone up here so she can answer that
question.
Well,
it's funny because if you've been, you know, the news stations and the cable news in particular certainly believe that this Mueller report is dropping soon. It's, you know, the banners on all the cable stations, like Washington on high alert, bracing for Mueller report. Really, the feeling is out there that tonight, this afternoon, is it.
What do you think?
Yes, I am Mary, quite contrary on this. I think we've all been had. I think that the Mueller team doesn't leak. They don't say anything. So who are the people that are telling reporters, the reporters at ABC, NBC, and CNN, who continuously tell us it's now, it's imminent? And who are the people? Is it Rudy Giuliani who's telling them that? Or is it some DOJ people that want to make the president happy to set up this sort of faux deadline to make it seem like if Mueller extends and goes beyond this that he's up to something no good or he's suffering a breakdown? I mean, because we know that Mueller's team doesn't tell people, yes, this is, I mean, they don't tell anything ever.
I have another theory.
Yes, boxes have left the building.
Right.
Some people like Andrew Weissman have left, but I just want to read this tweet because I'm sure you follow her, but Natasha Bertrand of The Atlantic, mm-hmm. she's, you know, all
of
5 years old, but she is a fabulous reporter, and she's all over this story. I'm telling you, she's really knocking her competitors by the wayside on this story most of the time. She says, as we await Mueller's report, it's from an hour ago, a lawyer for Andrew Mueller, the longtime Roger Stone associate, tells me today that Mueller's office still wants Mueller to testify before the grand jury. Mueller has been fighting the subpoena since last summer. Well, we know in January that Mueller extended the grand jury for 6 months. So then there's this whole discussion about whether the counterintelligence stuff will be separate from the report and might come later. Like, this idea that an explosion is going to go off is wrong.
Is it possible that it's not actually going to be the report, but there will be the unsealing or the presentation of sealed indictments?
Yes, that's entirely possible. So there's this, you know, I'm a tea leaf reader on this. So I watch I know all the reporters who say, who have bought into the no new indictments. Now, the grand jury has been quiet since Roger Stone. It was quiet for a long time before Roger Stone. So everyone's saying, well, the grand jury's quiet, so there's no new indictments. But the sealed indictments might have been sealed a while ago, and there are several of them. And they might have to do with the heart of the, you know, with the heart of the investigation, which where my questions linger, which have to do with Paul Manafort and maybe family members. But the thing is that Judge Amy Berman Jackson, when she sentenced Manafort a week ago, or, you know, in Trump time, it could be 10 days ago. I don't know. It seems like 6 months ago. Well, she was making the statement about how collusion was not part of this charging and the sentencing. And she said collusion. It's something like this. She said, collusion is a non sequitur. It's part of another investigation, which is still ongoing. It has nothing to do with this, essentially. And she knows what Mueller has. And the actual collusion that Paul Manafort was involved in with the Russians, and it might not rise to the level in the legal term of conspiracy, but he was giving Konstantin Kalimnik polling data, and he hung out with plenty of Russians. And we know the Russians were trying to infiltrate the election and the campaigns.
Right.
That part of this has never been told to us. It's not been part of his charging or his sentencing. So is it somewhere in a story yet to be explained? I mean, that's really an important question, right? At the end of this,
what we're really supposed to learn is how
the Russians were attacking our electoral process.
I need you to take a breath. I need you to take a drag on a cigarette, have a sip of bourbon. I don't know what it is right now, but I'm worried about your health because
I spent too many Fridays talking about this.
All right, I can see that. So let me jump in here for a second about Manafort. Is it possible that Manafort was just reckless, stupid, or, you know, trying to favor up these people that he owed a bunch of stuff to and thinking he was going to kind of get even with them, and it wasn't really, didn't rise to the level of a crime, but it rise to the level of ultimate stupidity? That's a question that I think, you know, we're going to see get answered here in fairly short order. The other piece, I have another theory. You ready for this theory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it possible that people keep head faking the president, keeping him on edge Friday after Friday after Friday, because this is the third consecutive Friday we heard it was coming out, right? And they're head faking him to get him to go nuts and maybe provoke him into firing Mueller in the middle of all of this because it's driving him crazy, which then would be, you know, the end of his presidency, perhaps, or then again, maybe not. I mean, I don't know what happens anymore.
But who are the people that are trying to provoke this?
People who want chaos, or people who think that that's going to end his presidency, or people who want him to take charge. You know, I mean, the thing is, there are people, he's getting Lady Macbeth here quite a bit. And I don't think by Melania. I think by a lot of people around him who are trying to provoke him and push him and cajole him and use his own anger and impetuousness against him or the country or to their benefit at some level.
Well, maybe. And maybe you're right. Maybe Paul Manafort is only guilty of money laundering and financial crimes and that sort of thing. But he was so tied up with the Russians that I think that there is a possibility, if those sealed indictments are connected to the special counsel probe, that they have to do with actual colluding with Russians. And it may or may not, you know, as I said, rise to the level of conspiracy. So if you follow people like Garrett Graff, who's just written a book on the FBI, and Bob Mueller, and is, you know, follows this at the granular level, he believes, like some other lawyers, that actually there are stories to come, possible, you know, sealed indictments to be unsealed, because Mueller has intentionally left holes in his indictment so far. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer to any of these questions, but I don't believe it's coming today. I don't believe that Mueller's people have, you know, are the ones convincing everyone that it's coming today. And I know that when it comes, we're facing this huge transparency disclosure fight, and, you know, and the White House and everyone listening to your program should be prepared for this, is going to say it's a total dud while we're not seeing it.
Right. Yeah. They're going to say it's over. And they won't have seen it either. That's going to be the best.
Even if they see it and they're begging for the redactions and they're in an executive privilege fight, right? He's still going to spin it as like the biggest hoax of all time and a total joke and a waste of taxpayer dollars while we're all sitting here having no idea what's going on.
FBI Director James, the former FBI Director James Comey, you saw his op-ed piece in the New York Times. He also says he has no idea when it's coming. His op-ed was more about, I don't care about that. I care that the work is done well and completely and that the respect for the Justice Department is restored. He also said that he really wants to confess on one piece of this whole thing. He hopes that the president is not impeached, not removed from office before the end of his term. He thinks that that would be bad for the country and more deeply fracture us as a nation.
Well, thanks, Jim. Nice job with everything else you did.
Yeah. So it's sort of, you sort of turn around and say, well, let's look at your record, I suppose.
Yeah, did a real good job. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
I think that Nancy Pelosi feels the same way about impeachment. She'd rather beat Trump fair and square at the ballot box. But I think that James Comey has a hell of a lot of nerve coming out with an op-ed like yesterday. You know, he just wants to be in the center of everything.
And I know.
But at the same time, you know what? Like, let's just join together, the three of us, in like a patriotic moment here. We've talked about this so many times for so long. He's making, I mean, there is a good point here, which is that Mueller hasn't been fired and this has been allowed to reach a conclusion. We expect it to be, you know, probably not today, but at some point soon. And it wasn't derailed. And he is a stand-up guy. We might never have someone like Bob Mueller again. And on that, I'm really grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, all right. For sure.
And I think, I mean, I really think most of us outside of the fever swamps of InfoWars are going to trust him. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really do. I just do. And I really think that it's a process that most people will believe in. And Newt Gingrich wrote this big op-ed about like, oh, it's just been so, you know, basically like he was out to torment everyone in the Trump family. And so he should reveal, you know, everything and disclose the entire report just to show like what a bad process it was. And he knows that's BS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I am grateful that it's got to this point and it didn't end in like a huge constitutional showdown. The next chapter could be pretty bad, but at least we've gotten to this.
That's a nice thought. I got to ask you really quickly, because we asked our financial analyst about this a few minutes ago, about Stephen Moore being nominated to the Fed. Now, I know him. I really personally like Stephen Moore. I think he's a fun, good-hearted guy. But he's gotten very political, and he's written a book about how great the Trump economy is, most of which is not the same economic philosophy that he had been sharing for the last quarter century with cable news viewers, right? He totally changed his own philosophy on this. And it's kind of like, you know, when the president wanted his pilot to head up the FAA and he wanted his doctor to head up the Department of Health, you know, it's like, It's the guy in front of him. It's not necessarily the best candidate.
No question. There is, like you, I find him a really nice guy. He really is. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
But many people get their jobs from being on television, sort of complimenting Donald Trump.
Yes,
it happens on Fox. Stephen Moore happens to have been on CNN, but it is true. I mean, we can, you know, there's a lot of people that we can point to.
Yes.
And it is sort of, that's like the requisite path, you know, and he just decided, you know, he's down on Jerome Powell but he's not going to kick him out of the Fed chair job. And, he basically just thinks this is great because he's heard him compliment him and like you said, write this book. So I have no idea how this is going to go down. The news sort of changed to the North Korea sanctions after the news of Stephen Moore. But I think everyone knows, you know, what's driving it, the appointment.
Right. I firmly believe. I just want to stop for a second, and I just want you to imagine Barack Obama. I know this is whataboutism, but it's too good. It's Barack Obama naming Trevor Noah as the as the Secretary of State because he's South African, right? And like, you know, it's sort of like I just don't want you to imagine. You talk about a fever swamp. You imagine the exploding heads in America. I mean, that's where we're just caught in this wackiness where we know something is not the way it is supposed to be. This is just totally a different way that people are doing business here. Yeah. And it's making us all super uncomfortable. But it, some of us are joyous in it, and others are like, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
This has been an especially crazy week, though, because my whataboutism about Obama is always when he goes after private companies. Like, you know, he threatens a boycott on Twitter of Harley Davidson. We can just imagine what would have happened to Barack Obama had he done that.
Right.
And then GM or whatever.
Yeah,
but then after the McCain, you know, torment all week, he goes, he makes Sarah Sanders come out and say he likes Chairman Kim about pulling back these sanctions that, you know, that just yesterday his national security advisor were saying were important for the continued maximum pressure campaign. And he revoked them by tweet and made Sarah Sanders say the president likes Chairman Kim and believes that these will not be necessary.
What do you make? I know we got
so
a second
people start
left
putting
here.
Like pictures of Otto Warmbier, you know, on Twitter saying he likes Chairman Kim. I mean,
I got to ask you a question.
It's almost like it's intentional.
I got less than 30 seconds, but do you know Kellyanne and George Conway?
I've known Kellyanne, you know, not well, but because of our work lives for a very long time. I know that George Conway obviously is enjoying this as much as the president. I mean, he barks back and bites back immediately and doesn't let go. Very much a similar, like, dog with a bone on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
But don't you think, I mean, she seems very nonplussed, and I just think that they have worked this out.
This whole thing's
like, we're all imagining it's an awkward thing, but, like, come on. Of course, like, it's a good cop, bad cop thing that they're at peace with.
This is a gigantic Fox News stunt for it was supposed to be a ratings sweeps stunt, and it's just lasted for 2 years, three years. The whole thing was a stunt. It was a put on. It's the only way I can look at this. And there's other people really running the government right now, and the whole thing is just, it's not really happening. Thank you.
Thanks, AB.
Thank you, AB.
Enjoy your weekend.
Bye. All right, AB Stoddard.
So no Mueller report, according to AB.
Well, we've got six minutes to decide.
Well, is it only 5 o'clock that it would happen? Can't they drop it a little bit later?
Don't they all go home in Washington at 5 o'clock?
I think and it's Friday,
do.
You know.
Yeah,
you want to get out of there.
You got to get out of
town. Got to get on the train.
Got to get to the Hamptons. Hey, let's talk to Kim. What's happening at the top of the hour?
What's up with Jared Kushner using WhatsApp?
Told you it was going to happen. It did. At the top of the hour, A.B. Stoddard said it wasn't going to happen.
She did.
And we told you it was going to happen at the top of the hour, and it did. At 4 o'clock, the Mueller report was delivered to the Attorney General. Special Counsel has finished his Russia probe and delivered the report. How about that?
So now the Attorney General gets to decide, gets to look over it and decide how much is released to the public.
Right.
How much
hashtag
we get to know.
Mueller Friday.
Mueller time.
It's Mueller time. You know, this is a good time to have a beer. Thank God the Knarble wagon is rolling today.
Might be needed.
Yeah. And the proper Knarble cocktailers are going to be here as well. Harry
One
carries.
Of the best
and
bartenders
just
in the
have
world.
A statement in from President Trump's personal legal team.
Okay.
And it says, we're pleased the Office of the Special Counsel has delivered its report to the Attorney General. Pursuant to the regulations, Attorney General Barr will determine the appropriate next step. Signed, Rudy Giuliani and Jay Sekulow.
Oh, God. Again, television television lawyers. Pursuant to all of the proper things that are going to be doing, the Attorney General is going to place the report in a shredder, a cross shredder, to make sure nobody can put it back together. And we're going to move on because the whole thing is a hoax. It's a lie. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see what happens.
It will. And how much of it is public? There are a lot of reasons that some of that information in there would not be public, right? There's some things that should not be public, even if they... you know, the names that would be brought up that may not be charged, but their names would be in the report.
And well, that isn't that interesting, though? We've been hearing that if they're not going to be charged, that they will redact the names, right?
Because that's an important step, I think.
Right, or they may not even be included in the report because this is not about we investigated this person and we found nothing there because just the mere fact they were investigating.
Right, they don't hold that up for the public to take a look at.
Yeah.
The fact that you're just investigated.
Tom Skilling, can you believe? Finally, 2 years later, here we are. Tom Skilling brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
I'll tell you, a moment of history. It'll be interesting to see where all this goes. Now the fun begins, huh? Like yeah. It hasn't been interesting up to this point in time. Wow. It's consumed the country on all sides. People wondering what in the world they're going to say. So it will be interesting.
Yeah, and this is not going to happen immediately. This is going to be, now that it's in, the fight will be about what will come out. And we're going to go through, I think we'll see weeks of that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe even months of that. My God, if the president has his way, years of it until after November of 2020. But it'll be something.
It will. Yeah. I remember, who's the fellow who comments at times, the former CIA fellow, Nance is his name, I think?
No.
He's a talking head. He's a commentator, and he used to work for the CIA. He's written a book. He made the comment, if anybody tries to bury this, there'll be a truck parked in front of the New York Times with an amazing data dump that goes on there.
Yeah.
As everybody looks to see what...
Bob Bear? Is that what you're talking
or
about?
No.
Hayden?
Michael Hayden?
No. No, I should know. Darn, I tell you, he's been on many, many shows over there.
Texters will know. And they
Sorry.
Hold on 1 second here, Tom. I want you to can you stick around a little bit
on
this? Because this is kind of interesting stuff.
Yes.
All right, A.B. Stoddard was just on with us in the last half hour. And A.B. said, this is never going to come out today. It's just, we're done with this. And I said, this whole thing's a head fake to try to get the president to go nuts and fire Robert Mueller. And it turns out, but I was still holding that something was going to come out. I thought they were going to unseal indictments at 4 o'clock. That we're being told here that the Russia probe is finished by Bob Mueller. Is that what you're seeing as well, AB?
Yeah, I hope you guys are going to put this in my tombstone that I told you emphatically it wasn't coming. But this guy and his fetish with 5 o'clock on Friday is hilarious. I just didn't believe him. I got off the phone with you at like 3 minutes to 5.
Literally, it was no sooner that you got off the phone with us that the Washington Post reporter tweeted,
A friend of mine who works at CBS heard it before it was online and texted me right as I got off the phone with you. But anyway, here we are. I guess it's going to be quite a weekend. It sounds like Barr alerted the Judiciary Committee to this at 5 p.m., and he had gotten the report earlier this afternoon. But you know, he's going to be looking. He's not going to. He doesn't have his summary finished, so he's going to be making those decisions over the weekend. And the summary, you know, is everything, as we were discussing earlier, in terms of what he thinks he has to keep out of it.
AB, that's my question about it. Will we actually get to see a piece of the Mueller report, albeit redacted, or is it all in Attorney General Barr's language? Does he rewrite it for the public?
Great question.
Oh, he definitely does. His summary leaves out classified information, you know, things, sources and methods, things that have to be left out. And then the big question that looms is what all started with this conversation on July 5th of 2016 with then FBI Director Jim Comey coming out and having that press conference, because what he basically did was in so many ways kind of politically indicted Hillary Clinton but emphasizing that, oh, no prosecutor would bring this case. The declinations, the decisions not to indict people, are supposed to leave them out of the summary of the findings. And so that's been this concern, right? You see all this pressure for oversight in the Congress. The Democrats want to tell the complete story because they started to see that Mueller was likely to follow the justice policy guidelines, and obviously Attorney General Bill Barr would, and that we would hear about people who did, you know, who got across the legal threshold and broke laws, but people who didn't were going to be left out. So I think the summary is going to stick with, you know, crimes, and then again, remember, the White House is still going to then on top of that be making a case for things, executive privilege and that kind of thing.
And they're going to tell us how great he comes out in it, and nobody will know, as you made the point earlier. But there are sealed indictments still sitting there. When do those indictments get unsealed? And will, if the grand jury is still going on, why do they extend the grand jury for the until the middle of May?
Right. I really don't.
I don't know. And what's going on with Andrew Miller and what's going on with Rick Gates' sentencing. He's still cooperating with several other investigations. You know, I think that Donald Trump is still worried about what's going on in the Southern District of New York and what they're looking at. And I think that you'll see the House Democrats pay close attention to that story, dragging everyone from Alan Weisselberg, you know, Michael Cohen, all Trump family members, everyone through through the ringer on that. But I, in terms of what we're going to learn was left out of Mueller's investigation and what was part of it, remember, his mandate was broad. It was like anything he stumbles upon, right, is still isn't in his purview. But we haven't really known exactly what he stuck to. So that's what we need to learn. And then we would find, you know, then we can come to the conclusion and the lawyers will help us with what buckets other stuff lands in. And I think that the House Democrats started to realize that they might, it might be so vague and it might be like the midterm elections, like the punch of the story comes so much later that the headline is, it was a nothing. And so that's why you see them sort of pushing for these investigations, because they want, they don't have to indict people. They just want to, you know, have a rich narrative of what's gone on from the Trump organization to the Trump campaign, to the Trump inauguration, to the Trump transition, to the Trump presidency.
Right. And let the Southern District handle the rest of the indictments. AB, thank you very much. I know you're on, now you're on deadline again. Get right.
No, I'm going to just go eat some crow and shoes and be wrong for the weekend. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Bourbon. Bye. Bourbon, I suggest.
Right, right, I know. Bourbon. That's the most important thing we can do at this moment. I'll be doing some. I have a weird sort of sense of kind of a weird relief. Like, okay, got done, you know. And so
that.
Whatever, wow. However it breaks out, whatever happens, it happened.
Malcolm Nance is the one that you.
That's
were looking
that's
for.
Exactly who I was thinking
and
of.
And
yes.
You're right. Our smart listeners are, of course, letting us. Know.
Yes, yes. I couldn't think of his name, and I ought to be. Taken to the woodshed for that. By the way, I've got some great crow sauce over here. We have a lot of it in the weather office because we tend to put that on our meals frequently over here, you know, in this line of work. So
prognostication, it's a tough
yes,
sort of
it
business.
Is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
What did,
this
what
was
day.
Rumored to come out, like as you were pointing out earlier, Rob. So many Fridays, it was it. This we, was there were news staffs that were put on hold to work all weekend long after the
2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago today, we were told that it was coming out, and we were told with absolute certainty. And there was all these Washington guys were texting each other, and then I was texting some of my friends, and I'm like, hey, what are you hearing? And everybody was like, whoop. Last, and that was, it was so funny. I was at a dinner the night before, and I go, well, we got to work late tomorrow night because the Mueller report's going to come out.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, really? The Mueller report's going to come out?
Yeah.
And then, like on that Saturday, the guy calls me and goes, are you an idiot? So I was only missed it by 2 weeks. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah.
And I think it's, we won't know anything, I think, of any great substance over the weekend.
Can you imagine the shoe leather that's going to be expended now in the days and weeks ahead as reporters try to call, you know, check with sources and find out what's been in this report?
Right. Well, the Attorney General has to share the substance of it with the Senate and House Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
And you wonder, even though Mueller was exceptionally good in his team of keeping it rather leak-proof, this whole 22-month process, but now you wonder, once it starts getting into the halls of Congress, if that's...
Well, will it? Here's the other question. The report by Bill Baer. Wait, no. Hold on. There are too many guys. Bob Barr. Oh. By the Attorney General will make it. He's required to submit a report.
Right.
So that'll get to Congress. But, you know, but it could be as simple as, hey, there's nothing to see here. Mueller exonerated him. That's as far as we go. Thank you and good night. And he could do that. I mean, he's legally capable of doing
that. He's saying right now, just breaking, that Attorney General William Barr said in a letter to Congress, he will most likely be able to provide lawmakers with principal conclusions as soon as this weekend. So maybe more to follow after that. But as soon as this weekend, they will have some details.
Well, you know something, the country has gone through this for 2 years, and I don't know about you guys. I'm curious to hear what they found after all this. You
know? I want to know everything.
It's incredible.
Not interested at all.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm very, very interested.
Yes, I think we all are. But, you know, everybody, it's funny. It's like a Rorschach test, right? Because it's like everybody's bringing their own interpretation
baggage
to this,
to it,
right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I know. Oh, there's going to prove everything. And then you're like, it's going to prove nothing. And it's going to prove, I mean, depends on who it is. But if you're the president, though, you got to stop and you got to think about this. Because you know some of the stuff that happened. And let's say that the president, although, you know, he's never, ever fibbed or misled us in any way, shape, or form. But let's just assume for a second that, you know, he believes that he had nothing to do with this and the people around him weren't actually colluding. Maybe the kids, you know, took some inopportune meetings and that they probably shouldn't have. But just imagine all of that. But he's got to stop and think, yeah, but what did... Especially when it comes to Don Jr., right? He's like, what did Don Jr. do? And again, there are sealed indictments that sit there.
Is that right? That's for a fact, is it?
That is for fact. There are sealed indictments. Those sealed
indictments Mueller has come up with.
Yeah, those things are like 8, 10, 12 weeks old, something like that.
Wow.
And they've been sitting there from before Christmas. So however long it's been.
What happens with those now?
That was the question we just asked AP, which is perhaps nothing. Maybe the whole thing just gets shifted over to the Southern District of New York and let them handle it.
Yeah, interesting.
You know, they don't necessarily unseal those indictments. So the question is, you know, who else is being indicted? Now, we can assume Roger Stone is one of those people, right? I mean, Roger Stone has already been, charged and he's in court, but he's not, you know, this is not a clear unsealed indictment that relays out the exact charges against him.
Right.
Right. What do they call an information? Mike Monaco is going to join us coming up in a few minutes to explain that.
Okay. Oh, that will be an interesting fella to talk to.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Yeah, not that he has any skin in this game.
No, not at all. I always saw him behind Cohen, all day long. I'll tell you, you know, there are certain people you look at and they just ooze credibility, and he's one of them, you know?
Well, he's also fashionable.
Very well dressed.
Yes, he is.
He's fashionable.
Well,
yes. And you go, if you are ever in trouble, you want Mike Monaco
as
your
indeed,
lawyer.
Yes, I would think.
Right, because when he saunters into the court, I've been in the courtroom with Michael a couple of times.
He's silky.
Watching him work. Very rarely on my behalf, but every once in a while he has that too. And when he walks into the courtroom, there's just an air. I mean, there's a very famous courtroom artist,
mm-hmm.
Andy Austin. She worked at ABC for many, many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and she did a book about she did a lot of like the big trials and then her work from the trials showing the people. And there's one trial, and I can't, Mike, I think, as Tylenol, I think it was. Mike prosecuted Tylenol.
Wow, is that right?
Yes.
Boy, there's a blast from the past right there. Yeah.
And they show him in the courtroom on the Tylenol murders.
Mm-hmm.
And she describes him as, you know, almost like a Roman god walking into the honest to God. And it was like one of those things, like, wow.
I know.
He has a presence, that's for sure.
Does. Yeah. He does.
So, all right. Okay, well, let us depart here. What, the weekend?
Weekend, beautiful start. A little warmer tomorrow afternoon and kind of rainy. The wind with time will turn off the lake Sunday, so not a great day. But we got to get up to 50 tomorrow. Compared to what we've been through, that's going to feel like spring.
It's nice.
It's yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, have a wonderful... I'm dying to hear the rest of the show because there's plenty to talk about here.
Yes, there is. Yeah. Mike Monaco will join us after the news at the bottom of the hour. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
you
Tom.
Bet. Ro and Anna, talk to you later, guys.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
All right. Let's check in now. Find out from Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the news?
The wait is over. The Mueller report has been delivered.
Well, it's always interesting to me because a deputy that didn't get any votes appoints a man that didn't get any votes. He's going to write a report on me. I had one of the greatest election victories in history. Would you say that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
They came from the valleys. They came from the rivers. They came from the cities. They came from all over. They voted in one of the greatest elections in the history of our country. And now I have a man that, because we have an attorney general who nobody can even believe that he didn't tell me, but he recused himself.
That interview alone with Fox Business could be evidence before it's all said and done. Mike Monaco, he is our legal analyst and, of course, also slightly limited in what he can talk about here because he represents Michael Cohen now in numerous legal matters mm-hmm. on many fronts. But can you explain? I know. Mike's like, I do?
How are you?
Hi, Mike. We miss you.
Yes.
How are you, Anna?
I'm good.
I missed you. I was there this week. I missed you.
Oh.
Yes, that's true. You were here on Monday. The only thing with Mike, though, is I call him this morning, mm-hmm. and I had so many things on my mind, I forgot exactly what it was. And he goes, I'm busy here. I'm busy. Are you watching the news?
Ro was trying to text you during the Cohen testimony to see if you'd laugh or something.
Yeah.
You're too much of a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to see if you, and also watch you actually pick up your phone and look at it. All right, listen. All right, tell me now, what is the process here? Because the report has been submitted to the Attorney General.
Right, and the Attorney General is going to review it, and the Attorney General is going to report, I assume, going to give it to Congress. He's got to give it to Congress, I think, and then Congress is going to have to decide what to do with it, I assume. Now, the House just voted 400-something to 0.
420.
420 to zero that they think the report should be made public.
Right.
And the president yesterday said, or 2 days ago, said that he thinks the report should be made public.
Yeah, but he says so many things.
Well, let's talk about what's likely not in it, though, Mike, because they're saying that the names of people who Mueller decided not to charge will not be in it, because that would not be fair to those people, that ongoing law enforcement operations would not be in it, grand jury proceedings wouldn't, classified intelligence information, of course, wouldn't be in it. But when it comes down to what is in it, how much discretion does the Attorney General Barr really have here?
He has a lot of discretion.
Wait. I want to stop and clarify something, though, that Anna's asking, because I want to... That will not be in the report that we see. Is it in the Mueller report?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm not... I think that names of people who are not going to be indicted will be in the report.
In the report to the Justice Department, but the Justice Department will not release those.
I'm just talking about what will be released to the public. You wouldn't intelligence information or grand jury proceedings would not... obviously become public.
Right. Now, apparently, he has given to U.S. attorney's offices in Virginia and D.C. and elsewhere potential cases that he thinks should be brought against people. So I expect that may happen down the road. But with respect to what Attorney General Barr is going to do with the report... he talked about that. He said that he'll turn over that which he is entitled to turn over, or that he's that by rule or regulation he has.
Michael
to turn
Cohen's
over.
Head, right there, back there. We're just listening to what's inside Michael Cohen's head.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So he's going to give us a report, and he says now. There's reporting. Mm-hmm. We don't have it.
It's
didn't tell
Bloomberg.
Us.
Bloomberg's reporting that he says that a letter to Congress, and they have a picture of the letter to Congress that he's going to provide lawmakers this weekend, as early as this weekend, with the principal conclusions.
Now, what about these unsealed indictments? These sealed indictments. I'm sorry. The sealed indictments that were let 3 months ago. What happens to those? Do they just get moved over to another prosecutorial agency? Do they disappear? Do they sit still somewhere in Maine Justice in Washington? What goes on?
If they are indictments from the special counsel, and people who work for the special counsel's office will either continue them or they'll be transferred to a local jurisdiction, I assume.
Is that standard in most cases? If you have
You say most cases. It's not that usual to have a special counsel.
No, I understand. But
once you have a special counsel, all rules are off.
But but sealed indictments are are not necessarily that unusual.
No, sealed indictments are very, very common for one reason or another. Here, if they're sealed, how do you know they're sealed? By the way, where was that reported?
That's been reported for months. That
really?
Months ago, there were sealed indictments. Yeah.
See, you know everything, Ro.
By the way, don't tell your client they're sealed indictments. Because God knows what's in those. Yeah.
I'm very impressed, Ro, that you know that they're sealed indictments.
Yeah.
So it depends on, as I say, the special counsel's office doesn't go away necessarily. They may continue to operate and continue to bring cases like this, like the ones that are sealed, or they may transfer them to local jurisdictions.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so principal conclusions.
That's what he says,
principal conclusions. But
now, can I also say something else that's important here, too? We now are being told that this report got to the Attorney General's office hours ago. Which means, and you know, it's not going to like, he's going to get there and he's going to go, you know what, I'm going to go off for a cigarette first and not look at it. You know that they were going through it. I don't know how long the, you know, the initial, you know, whatever the summary is that you look at. But, you know, assuming it takes an hour to get through that, you know, he would have an idea about what he wants to do. And you know this guy, right? You know Bill Barr?
Yeah, I know Bill Barr.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's a good lawyer, right?
He's a good lawyer. Now, the question is this, I suppose, the number one question, does Mueller's report say that there was collusion between the Trump campaign and Russians in Russia who were working on behalf of Mr. Trump? That's the million-dollar question, and I'll be interested to hear what they have to say.
The president.
Hold on. You got to let that resonate.
Yeah.
Because this is Michael Cohen's attorney saying that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Did you hear how he said what he just said? That's all I'm saying.
I'll be interested to hear what he has to say about that.
Mm, very interesting.
But I, you know, there was a report yesterday in the New York Times that said it may be great for the Republicans, maybe great for President Trump if Mueller produces a report that does not say that the president's campaign colluded with Russians.
Right. Well, the president's already saying that's what it says. He hasn't read it, but he says that's what it says.
Well, he also has said in the past, and his lawyers have said, they'd like an opportunity, I think Giuliani said, would like an opportunity to respond to anything that is appeared to be damaging to the president. But how much back and forth can there be or will there be between the president and Attorney General Barr before it becomes public?
God only knows what the president's going to say to Attorney General Barr. But there shouldn't be any. There shouldn't be any communication between them. The Attorney General's got to decide on his own what he should do, and the president should not play a role in his decision. Now, is that likely? No, it's probably not likely. The president's, from everything he's done so far, it looks like he's going to try to play a role in this decision, but we'll have to see.
Why wouldn't these sealed indictments, because I'm getting confirmation from our people in Washington right now who are monitoring what we're talking about here, because they want to hear what you have to say about this, these indictments have not been unsealed, and there was some expectation that they would have been unsealed today. What do we learn? What do we learn about? Now we know that they may be sent somewhere else, mm-hmm. but tactically, what do you think is going on there?
Well, Mueller has played his cards very close to the vest, and filing sealed indictments. Now we have no idea who they are, and so they're, you know, the mind can boggles can to figure out who
right.
who might
be
charged.
Anybody, right? Yeah.
It could be anybody, but this. So it looks like Monday is going to be a big day, I suppose.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless he's going to release it before Monday.
And then you wonder, Democrats are saying that they want the underlying evidence. They want to feel confident that Barr is returning over enough to them in order to consider what actions they might want to take moving forward. So it feels as if there'll be some legal challenges beyond once it's turned over to Congress.
Oh, yes, that's for sure. That's for sure. There were definitely going to be legal challenges, and you already know that several of the chairmen in the House, at least, have said that they're going to seek a copy of the report and turn over the report to the public.
Yeah.
They've already said that.
Right. All right. I want to just ask you this before we let you go. Based on your hunch, based on all of the things that you have watched transpire here over the last 2 years, and given your best legal just speculation here, just pure speculation, and on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of what could come out here, do you think the White House should be 5 being it's a bad stuff, but not really, you know, not going to take us down, 0 being they totally exonerate us, and 10 is batten down the hatches and see if we can lock the doors and keep the guards out?
Yeah, I think it'd be between 5 and 10.
between 5 and 10? Would you say 7 or 8?
You're so funny. This is like the game we used to play.
Yes. He loves these games.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I got enough out of 5 and 10.
Goodbye.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You. Goodbye.
Bye, Mike.
Bye. All right. For God's sake. All right. Yeah. Evan McMullen joins us right now. He ran for president. He's a former CIA guy. Mm-hmm. And been very critical of the president of the United States, and been asking publicly, you know, for this investigation to be as thorough as possible. Mr. McMullen, what are your thoughts on the fact that now the Mueller report has been handed over to the Attorney General?
Well, first and foremost, I'm thrilled that we're at least to this milestone in the process. You know, we've had this investigation ongoing for 2 years. We've learned a lot from the special counsel already in all of his indictments and court filings, but there's a lot we don't know still, obviously, and we know that for a fact because a lot of filings have been so heavily redacted. And so hopefully this report will give us more of that information that was redacted in all the other court filings and that maybe didn't make their way into public court filings at all. So we seem to learn a lot, we'll see what that is exactly.
Well, yeah, but do you feel like this is going to be consequential, or was this just a gigantic ho-hum?
Well, no, I don't think there's any way, given what we already know, that this is ho-hum. I think, in fact, I know there are other details that are significant that I hope will be revealed in this process, but I think what we do already know publicly is significant enough to, on a political level. I'm not an attorney, so I won't speak to that, but we have a president who pursued a business transaction, a major business transaction in Russia that required the help of Vladimir Putin. He secretly pursued that during the campaign. At the same time, Vladimir Putin supported his candidacy, and at the same time, Trump ran interference for that attack on our democracy while carrying Russian propaganda messages to the American people. So that should be enough. That is serious corruption. That's enough, I think, for us to decide politically that we need to hold this kind of person accountable, in an election or potentially, depending on what we learn, in impeachment. But that is very, very serious. And we know, of course, publicly much, much more than that. All of these connections between Trump's campaign and the Russians, Paul Manafort providing targeting data to a Russian intelligence associate, contacts with WikiLeaks and Guccifer 2.0, these Russian intelligence proxies, yeah, as well as all the other contacts. So it's what we know already is highly troubling. There's more to learn. I think we'll learn more. But from a political perspective, we have to get to a place, the American people, where we look at something like this and we say, this is unacceptable. And so we'll see what more we learn. I think we will learn a lot more. But what we know already is damning enough, in my view, on a political level.
You used a word there, Evan, I think is interesting. See, you know something. Right. And we just talked to Mike Monaco, who's Michael Cohen's attorney, and he also intimated, clearly said he would be surprised if there, you know, wasn't something important that was going to come out of here, but he also knows what his client has said. So what his client has presented, you know, whether they believe what his client presents is a separate issue, but he knows what's been proffered by his client. Mm-hmm. So there are real consequential things here in front of us. The question is, will this attorney general let them out? What will the White House try to do to stop that?
Yeah, well, let me say more specifically, what I'm referring to is just more information about contact between Trump's team and the Russians. And I think there will be more on that. And we'll see what kind of impact that has from a public opinion perspective. That's not clear to me. And legally, that's a question as well. But because we're dealing with the president, especially in this, he's, you know, the most important figure in all of this, and DOJ regs sort of stand in the way of his indictment. Ultimately, this is a political question. This is a question for the American people. Do you want a president of the United States pursuing business deals with a country that is attacking us, with a regime, a foreign dictatorial regime that's attacking our democracy? Are we going to stand for that? That, I think, is the central question here. We'll see what other details come, but we know, we should know
enough, in my view, to conclude that this is not something we can tolerate.
Evan, I want to ask you about a piece of news that's coming out with the Mueller report dropping. The reporting is out there that Mueller did not issue any final indictments before turning in his report. But then the issue is out there, are there sealed indictments? And we were talking about that earlier. What is your view on that?
Well, I would be surprised if there's no additional action, either in terms of sealed indictments or other offshoot investigations that the special counsel has sort of turned over, having done what it felt it was narrowly asked to do. But we just don't know. So it's just hard to imagine that, just a few weeks ago, Roger Stone's home was raided, and they collected a bunch of information there. We learned that Paul Manafort had turned over targeting data to the Russians. There was a bunch of redacted court filings, and it's just hard to imagine that this is where it stops. We also know nothing about obstruction of justice by the administration, which, in my view, there clearly has been. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems clear, starting with Comey's firing and all the other firing and demotions at DOJ and FBI of anyone involved in the Russia investigation, the president's own statements, and we've heard nothing from the special counsel at all on potential obstruction of justice. And so I just think there's so much that we've sort of gotten glimpses of, but not heard anything final. And by the way, this is an important point. It may be that the special counsel decides not to address certain things that are corrupt but not illegal, and that's the role of Congress. That's why I've been calling for a long time for Congress to do its investigations, and now they're starting to in the House. But there are certain things that may not trip a legal tripwire because maybe our laws haven't caught up to this kind of challenge, but that Congress will need to take up itself.
Yeah. Evan, thank you very much. I know you're in an airport in Salt Lake and waiting to get on a plane. We really appreciate you taking time with us. Evan McMullen. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Evan.
My pleasure.
All right. He ran for president, as you know, a very vocal critic, former CIA agent, and he is was one of those guys who was like, are we not paying attention to what's happening here? And he just articulated right there about, a foreign adversary coming after us in terms of the Russians, and why aren't we taking this more seriously? All right, well, we'll find out. Here it is, the moment we have all been waiting for. The Mueller report has been handed over to the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr. We're going to find out, we think, as early as Sunday, as late as Monday or Tuesday, what he's going to tell Congress, because Congress is going to blab it the minute they get it.
Don't you think?
For sure. So we will see what happens there. Stay right here. More to come. Let's check in now with Kim. What's happening at the top of the hour?
Roe will bring you President Trump's initial reaction to the release of the Mueller report.
All right, it's the Roe Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. We are going to get through the top 5 and 5 relatively quickly here, and then more analysis on the Mueller report has been submitted to the Attorney General of the United States, and Bob Mueller is wheels up. See you later. Nice to know you.
Yeah, my guess is we won't be hearing from him anytime soon.
Here's my question. What if Bob Mueller gets on an airplane and leaves the country? Should we also
read something
suit?
Into that? Oh, should we leave?
All right.
I'd like to know where he goes.
Yes,
what he does after 22 months of this kind of rigorous investigation.
Great if he showed up like on Kimmel tonight, karaoke and cars recording.
Right, exactly.
I've been waiting. I've got some good stuff.
All right, Richard Roper, hold on one second. Let's get to the top 5 and 5. Okay. We'll continue on here.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now it's the top 5 and 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, a special Mueller edition of the top 5 and 5.
Number 5.
So the president sits down with Fox Business. What we used to call her the money honey. Mm. Maria Bartiromo, right?
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's not allowed.
Mm. Why not?
Because I think it's like it's post Me Too. I don't think you're allowed to say that.
Mm.
So the president talks about he must have known this was coming because he sat down late last night and started running this morning with Maria Bartiromo, and it seemed to be very much on his mind, the release of the Mueller report, and especially what was really ticking him off was Jeff Sessions.
Well, it's always interesting to me because a deputy that didn't get any votes appoints a man that didn't get any votes. He's going to write a report on me. I had one of the greatest election victories in history. Would you say that's true?
Yes, absolutely.
They came from the valleys. They came from the rivers. They came from the cities. They came from all over. They voted in one of the greatest elections in the history of our country. And now I have a man that because we have an attorney general who nobody can even believe that he didn't tell me, but he recused himself.
Because he was legally obligated to do it.
Yeah.
And that we don't vote for our law enforcement here.
Well,
that's not what we do in the United States.
No.
That's not how this works.
And do you know how hard it is, though, to get the people from the rivers, the people that live in the rivers to vote for you? As he mentioned, the valleys and the rivers. The people came from the valleys and the rivers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Poetic.
Okay.
All right.
They were wet.
Checking in at
number four.
But this is a pretty great moment right here. He said that if there's stuff that is negative about the president, this country is not going to be happy.
Think of it. I have a deputy appoints a man to write a report on me to make a determination on my presidency. People will not stand for it. Now, with all of that being said, for 2 years we've gone through this nonsense because there's no collusion with Russia. You know that better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And there's no obstruction. They'll say, oh, well, wait, there was no collusion. That was a hoax. But he obstructed in fighting against the hoax.
How would Maria Bartiromo know that there's no collusion?
Anybody.
Was she in on the Mueller team?
Better than anybody.
Discussions.
was that. Now, but then he turned it away from that. And you could tell he's anxious. And I don't know if this whole McCain thing has been about a distraction so that we don't think about this, but...
Number three.
Senator John McCain is dead. Why are you doing this? He can't punch back. I know you punch back,
no,
but he's dead.
I don't talk about it. People ask me the question. I didn't bring this up. You just brought it up. You asked the question.
Well, you talked about it this week.
You asked me the question. When I went out yesterday to the scrum, they asked me the question. When they asked me the question, I answered the question. But you people bring it up. I don't bring it up. I'm not a fan. He was horrible what he did with repeal and replace. It was what he did to the Republican Party and to the nation and to sick people that could have had great health care was not good. So I'm not a fan of John McCain, and that's fine.
But the only reason we're asking the question is because he tweeted about it.
Right. He started it
over the weekend. It wasn't like there was like people
it was in a bubble.
Right. Started saying, hey, you know what about that John McCain? No, he's been dead. Do you still hate him? It's not like that. Yeah.
Maybe that little blue cartoon bird on Twitter talks to him and asked him the question.
Number two.
Do you feel a responsibility as president to bring the nation together?
I do. And I think I am in a certain way bringing it together. I can tell you that a big portion of this nation is united like it's never been united before. You look at our economy. You look at jobs. I think I am bringing it together. I think I'm bringing it together.
Not by talking about John McCain.
I just said you brought up a question, Maria. I didn't bring it up. I didn't mention John McCain until you asked me a question about John McCain. Now, I could say I have no comment, but that's not me. But you shouldn't have brought it up. Actually, I thought you weren't supposed to bring it up, but that's okay.
What?
Ooh, oops.
Getting testy there.
So she agreed to preconditions for the interview with the president.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to bring it up.
That's funny you said that because media was reporting that they were that the Trump team had requested it, but it wasn't agreed upon.
I can't believe you brought it up. You weren't supposed to bring it up. You're going to go to journalism jail. And now the Trump presidency changes forever here, one way or the other. It either goes into the completely exonerated or partially exonerated or at least enough of an exoneration for him to claim exoneration, or it goes into a very deep, dark spiral. No two things, that you can't have anything in between that because the report is in and it will be definitive. They'll fight over how much gets out, but it will be definitive and it will get out eventually. So in this last interview, before all of that starts, here is how Donald Trump went out.
Number one.
fake news every once in a while.
It's not fake news. You just told me why you have an issue with him.
A very serious issue. He handed something to the FBI on me. He knew it was a fake. He handed it to the FBI. That's an issue.
And now we're going to get
the... Repeal and replace of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. He campaigned for years. That's an issue. But I didn't bring it up, Marie. You did.
He's mad at her now.
Okay, there you go.
She's off the list.
He handed it. He didn't even read it. He handed it right over. So he doesn't even know if it's a fake or it's not a fake. That's what you got to do. You get handed a piece of evidence that says that it's, you know, something about a major investigation. Is he supposed to read it and go, I'm just going to throw it away? Because I want to be loyal to Donald Trump because he's so loyal to everybody else around him. All right. Stand by. More on this right after.
The top five at five.
Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Both sides of the aisle weighing in on the release of the Mueller report.
Now, Robert Mueller never received a vote, and neither did the person that appointed him. And as you know, the attorney general says, I'm going to recuse myself. And I said, why the hell didn't he tell me that before I put him in? How do you recuse yourself?
I got to ask Pat Brady, who's our junior legal analyst.
That's not right.
Wow.
He gets to sit at the little kids' table.
Do you prefer deputy legal analyst? What do you prefer? Anyway, here's...
Don't answer
the question, sir.
As your attorney, I tell you not to answer the question. All right, Pat, let me ask you this. If you're listening, you're a lawyer, you understand how this works, you worked in the Justice Department, you worked even in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, God bless them. I think you understand the Constitution. What does it have to do when the president goes, well, they didn't get a vote, and they're casting judgment over me? That's not how this works.
No, and it's separation of powers, three branches of government that most people understand, but to his base, that's his dog whistle, the same stuff he says all the time. And he knows, I think he fundamentally knows it's a lie or not true, but he says it anyway. It's part of his, probably right now, he's just loading up tweets, figuring out what's going to be in this report.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a little bit of the now that the report has been... The Mueller report handed over to William Barr, the attorney general. The attorney general is saying he wrote a letter, and the letter has now been, they took a picture of the letter, and now we can see the letter, and it says that he's going to issue a report with conclusions in the next couple of days to Congress. Now, what Congress decides to do with it or where the White House tries to gum up the works on that, you know, we'll just have to see. But assuming that does happen, does the president, what does the president do if, because, you know, after all of this, it's not going to say, oh, nothing happened here.
Right. Well, then it's just a political football. And let's take a little step back, too. Typically, in any investigation, big, long, complex ones, the Justice Department doesn't issue a report. They barely even tell you they're not looking at you anymore. So this is unique for this kind of investigation to actually have a report. It's just the way that the statute was created to allow this office to be created. So this is somewhat unique. But right now, and I think we've thought this for a couple of years, it's going to be a political football. And I think the political winds are blown against any kind of impeachment, no matter what's in this report, because it's just bad politics.
And, Pat, isn't it also true? I mean, they're saying that there are no more indictments coming from Mueller, right? He's done. So on one level, at least, if you're Jared or some other folks like that, aren't you already thinking this is somewhat of a victory?
Oh, yeah. They will spin it as a victory, but and I agree, if they didn't indict somebody already, they weren't going to issue this report until they were done. But there are investigations going on in other jurisdictions, including the very aggressive Southern District of New York, which are looking at the Trump financial world, which to me is a lot more fertile grounds than the collusion thing, which is always a stretch or conspiracy because it's just too hard to prove.
Let's talk about Attorney General William Barr and what he puts in the report, the piece of this that becomes public, because it seems like he has wide discretion in terms of what he decides to tell the public, but also to Congress, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has a whole lot of discretion. Remember, the way that this is set up is because it's a result, direct result of what happened in the Ken Starr report against Clinton. I don't know if you've read that, but if you read the footnotes in that report, all the salacious Monica details were in there, and it was too much. So they limited this, and they allow the attorney general to put out a report that's a lot more limited, but it does raise questions on you know, what else was in the report.
The White House has also, Sarah Sanders has responded, because a lot of reporters are saying, well, William Barr has already told the president some of the things that are in it, and they've pushed back on that pretty strongly to say that he has not been briefed or received or had any discussions mm-hmm. about it, because that wouldn't be right, would it?
Well, how can anybody believe anything that comes out of there, though, right?
No. You know, Bill Barr is a long-standing lawyer, a guy of incredible reputation. He's not going to screw up his legacy by doing something to protect Donald Trump, no matter what Donald Trump thinks.
All right. There's all this talk about the sealed indictments from months ago, and right before Christmas or in December, there was an announcement that there were sealed indictments had been filed.
Right.
Now, what happens to those indictments? I'm asking all the lawyers I can, and now that you're in a windstorm, this is a perfect time to ask you. He's on the 17th hole. He's approaching the green right now.
Sorry to pull you off the golf course.
I wonder.
No, I'm still on the course.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I doubt it.
You wouldn't.
Yeah. I just turned away from the wind.
Give me a. I wanted a lime. No. Okay. I'm sorry.
What do you think happens to those sealed indictments? Do they just get moved to another jurisdiction, or do they put them in a shredder?
I'm not sure if they conclusively established those were Mueller indictments, did they? I mean, there's a lot of indictments that go through that courthouse. Did they? I never saw that they tied them up that way.
So that's my understanding of it, and that's everybody. And our little text chain from all the screaming heads in Washington right now. That's one of the questions that they're asking.
That question, whether or not they're Mueller indictments, or they could
no. What would if they are Mueller indictments? What happens to them?
Well, which is kind of odd. Some of the timing of all this has been kind of odd. But if Weissman and the big prosecutors have already gone back to other jobs, I can't imagine you're going to work an investigation for 2 years and not want to be the prosecutor. So I can't believe that these are big enough to make a huge difference. Otherwise, they would have hung around to do it.
Do you seal the indictment as a way to try to get somebody to cooperate, and then their cooperation turns out to not be enough to really make a difference, so it just goes away?
Well, I think you do queen for a day, bring them in, figure out what they're going to say, but you don't. And that's just not the regular order. These may be really insignificant indictments, or they may not even be Mueller indictments. They could just be from the D.C. district.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're sealed for a reason.
Yes. Well, they are sealed for a reason. And I'd like to get them unsealed. I'd like to see what's going on there. All right. Yeah. Well, Pat, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And you can get back. See, the problem is Pat has to figure out how he's going to nestle the cell phone against his ear with his shoulder while he's still putting. That is, it's a very difficult thing to do.
We can tell he's doing that.
Hey, am I going to see you this weekend, Earl?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
We'll be playing golf in Arizona, whether we like it or not.
Wow. Yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah, I saw Claude today. It's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, goodbye.
Yeah.
See, it's still good to be an American.
Accidentally kicked his ball out of the rough while on the phone with you guys here, too.
That doesn't count.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm working.
Yeah,
I'm working
distracted.
Over here. I'm the junior deputy legal analyst of the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis in Chicago.
He loved that part, I could tell.
Very loves it. All right, let's talk to Kim Gordon. She's got a news brought to you by AppleChevy.com.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Well, even though the Mueller report has dropped.
And it's Mueller time.
It is Mueller time. It's... We should have a Moscow Mull.
It's a good one.
But let me just say this, people. I don't care what happens in the world. I had dinner with the great Jim Johnson, the inventor of the Carnival Wagon, this week.
Oh, gosh. That's awesome.
And he said to me, he goes, you know, no matter what happens in the news, no matter what happens in the world, at 5 or 5:30 in this particular case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 5:41.
You just stop and the caramel wagon must roll. And when the alcohol goes in, the sadness has to go somewhere else.
Okay.
That's what he said.
And he's a legendary newsman.
Yes,
and
he
his
is.
Dad was as well. So
yep.
Wow.
He understands these things.
And he's married to a Devlantis. I don't know how
Isn't
the whole thing
weird?
Worked out.
The whole Crazy. Thing. It just, yeah. you know, 6 degrees.
So here we are. We are here with also one of the patient zeros, twice now in a week, the patient zeros of the Carnarvon wagon. Mr. Grant DePorter, who was one of the first in the Harry Carriers, were among the first people to come over. And Frankie, the bartender, we celebrated Frankie when Frankie was named the best bartender in Chicago by 600,000 readers of the Chicago Sun-Times. 600,002, Frankie.
You're right.
We had him in, and, well, fun ensued, and my career was almost lost.
About that.
And now, here we are. We are now just days away from the 21st annual worldwide toast to Harry Carey.
Yes.
Celebrating Prohibition, celebrating, we're going to be dressed in 1920s garb. I don't happen to like the
oh
idea
my goodness.
Of this.
No, we're being forced against our will.
Is this
but
better than
fun.
Last year for you, Ro?
I thought me being the astronaut was good. I thought
really?
The astronaut outfit was pretty good.
You're a little warm in there, though, yeah. by the end of the broadcast. It's very crowded at Harry
Best
Carey's
part
McKenzie.
Well, he didn't have to go to the bathroom much, did you?
No.
Well, no, because you go right
oh,
in.
Oh, Frankie, yeah. Trust me, I was next to him.
Oh,
nothing changed. Nothing changed.
Costume?
Just the journey and the delivery system, my friend. But think about this. This is the 21st. So the date on the wall at Harry Carey is if you were born on this date, you can now drink at Harry Carey's.
Right.
You're 21.
Well, yeah, Harry Carey passed away 21 years ago. So I actually found someone that was born minutes after Harry passed away. Because if Harry was reborn, he would want to come
wow.
back and toast himself
Well, that
legally.
Was a song, but Lightning yeah. Crashes by Live. Lightning Crashes.
Yeah, so that her name is Taylor McClanathan, and she will be there. She was born
beautiful.
February 18th, 1998, just minutes after
wow.
Harry passed away.
That is
She's
a
big Cub fan.
Beautiful thing.
Well, she is now.
Grant made sure.
Here's
you
your
will
name.
Be.
That is the creepiest freaking thing I have ever heard.
How do you know? How do you know if you roll?
Well, that is the most Grant DePorter thing I've ever heard.
Rejuvenation,
no,
rebirth.
I got an idea.
All right, hold on a second, everybody. First, Frankie, what did you make for us
wow.
in honor of this?
This is called The Enforcer.
How about that?
In honor of Frank Nitti.
And, yeah, that's right, because Frank Nitti at one point did live and office. Mm-hmm. In the building that now houses Harry Carey's at 33 West Kinzig.
Yes, Nitti and his family owned our building for 30 years. And for those people who don't know, he was the enforcer for Al Capone.
Right. So, and we're going to get to this other piece in just a second here. But so what's in this
Well, you
enforcer?
Start with just a little bit of absinthe.
Right? Oh,
just
dear
a little
God.
Bit.
Really?
And again, please be careful with the absinthe. That's very, very delicate, very volatile. Only a professional maybe should handle it. Then after that...
No shots of absinthe.
No, 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 no. That doesn't end well.
No.
And then we have George Remus straight bourbon whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of cherry hearing. And a little bit of sweet vermouth.
Oh,
that's
sweet. Little,
Let's give it,
it
a shot,
a
so to speak.
Oh, wow.
And then I'm thinking during Prohibition, they must have been very cold. Because this is really going to warm you up.
That's right. I just gave it a shot, and it really hits the spot.
See really
I
nice.
Did there?
Yeah, I saw what you did there. I'm seeing green lizards walking across my eyeballs
oh my
right now because of the absinthe. So I don't know if it's, I don't know if I'm supposed to be able to do that. All right.
Wow.
I gotta. Hey, kids, mm-hmm. be very careful
yes,
with this.
Dad?
I know that you're
yeah.
in your. You know, you're over 21, but still.
No, it's incredibly smooth. So it's a it's a fair warning, but it's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. It's bad.
Not to be played
I mean,
with.
In terms of the dangers of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. But if we're are we serving this on Wednesday for the Worldwide
Toast?
Boy.
Absolutely. I hope
Absolutely.
So.
And a
the
lot of Budweiser.
The parents are coming.
Oh, no. The mom and dad are coming?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They're going to have some fun.
Oh, boy.
And you know what's funny? Dad wants to dress up. Mom, not so much.
Well, there you
I
go.
I know what she feels like.
That's very interesting.
Wait,
you're dressing up.
Like. I know what she feels like that she doesn't want to.
Oh.
That's
oh,
what I was saying.
Party pooper.
All right, I'm going
to
get into it. Don't worry. Don't
like
worry. When it comes around, we all
up.
Get into it.
Nice.
You don't want to get into it either, Roro. What are you talking about? You're complaining?
Excuse me. Not, don't bring what I said off the air on the air. All right, I got to talk about whatever the hell is going on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
That, and I've never said that to a guest ever, and I probably should have said to every guest, but I don't understand. You and you tried to explain this to me yesterday. There is Now you had you found like a secret area in this building, because again they were running booze during Prohibition out of the bottom of your out of the basement of your building. That's already been well established, right? I mean, that was
Yes. We were a liquor wholesaler before, during, and after Prohibition, and a speakeasy. Mm-hmm. And a Capone guy rented half the building, and Nitti owned the other half.
What a history!
Yeah.
And, well, 11 years after we were open, we found an 85-foot-long room that we did not know was there. And then another time we opened up a wall and a mobster address book fell out with all the mobster home phone and a lot of aldermen, too, by the way.
Oh, gosh. And any Ed current Burke? Sitting aldermen?
No, okay, too soon.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right, so I ask you this. You had, there was like a storage closet. Storage area in your basement. Mm-hmm. Shows me this yesterday.
Yeah,
and it had a bunch. It had a bunch of equipment in it. Right.
Right. So in November we had one room that we had not gone in. It had like a lot of storage and dead equipment. So we got a giant dumpster, emptied it out, and when we saw it, we went in. There was a bricked-in door, and I wrote about that on Facebook in November and got a lot of reaction, which then made me go to the Chicago History Museum because mm-hmm. they said they could have some old building plans. And they actually found a building plan that Frank Nitti's family pulled in 1940 that identified that area as the vault. It was the Nitti vault.
Oh,
and we haven't opened it yet. So I posted that on Facebook. It got a lot of attention. And I'd met some Nitti distant relatives last summer, but after I started talking about this one, mm-hmm. Frank Nitti's grandson called me last night and told me a lot of family
Nitti?
Stories. What?
Yeah,
I don't know if he wants me to say his name.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Maybe
there's
not.
There's the two brothers came forward, and they're going to be there Wednesday. You're going to get to meet them.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a friendly phone call. That's good to hear. I thought it might be a little bit like, you know, guy has a shovel, somebody goes for a drive, and you never see him again in an Indiana cornfield.
Yeah.
Hey, let me borrow this steak knife.
My thing is, you could anger Frank Nitti because, as you know, he still lives there.
That's right.
He is there.
The Nitti ghost.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Nitti ghost?
No, you know, it's funny because as much as I've been there, mm-hmm. you would think
late
that
at night,
I have hours. Like, right. I've got like 5,600 shifts there. Think about that. But so many people that I know mm-hmm. that are afraid to tell me all tell me the same story. I think it's like it's a recurring ghost.
Well,
like he's there. Like, people
freaky.
I work with, we're afraid to tell each other because we're like, no, that's not real.
Well, if you look very closely,
you can't take that person seriously after you hear with the story. But
here's what you have to do. You have to look very closely at some of the photos on the walls that Harry carries, and you'll see the same man, like in a picture of Brian Doyle Murray, season 2 cast of Shameless, Rokan, and all of a sudden, who's that guy in the background?
That's Grant DePorter.
It's Nitti.
No, it's Grant DePorter. Yeah.
No, that one, he's in the foreground. He's in the background.
All right, so what is so now? He took me down there yesterday to this like bricked in room. Like the door has been bricked in, and it's clearly the same brick that they used from the middle of the century or the early part of the 20th century.
Right,
this is not a modern brick in thing, and you couldn't recreate this because there was a certain style of doing that kind of brickwork that no one would do today.
Right.
So this is not, and he was pounding on it. Mm-hmm. Was Grant, and it's hollow in there. There's room. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a real room in there. Now, what could the mob possibly have wanted to hide behind that wall?
Yeah, because you were saying why would they break it up? Because you could use the extra storage room, but no, they closed it in. And it's either $1 million or a dead body. I've figured out one of those two. What else would you put in there?
Silver certificates. That'd be nice.
Silver. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The old time bills.
Right, because you're right. If you're going to brick something in, there's
If you're trying to hide it and not access it really later, unless emergency.
It's like one of those scary movies.
So
it's the ghost that you don't want.
So what are you going to do with this?
When do we find out, Grant?
Can I take a sledgehammer to it?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of pressure. After I posted it, we were getting national news media calling all over the place. Everyone wants...
you don't want that.
Everyone wants the exclusive. Everyone wants the exclusive to open it up.
That's weird.
Yeah, but... No, but what if you open it up and you get the Geraldo Rivera thing where it's empty?
Get Geraldo here to do it.
Some people have said that might
happen. You need that.
But everybody knows who Geraldo is. I'm just saying.
But it could work out differently
press is good press.
For him now. Yeah, that's right.
And they open it up and it's the Mueller report.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be so great.
It's like a David Copperfield kind of a thing. Like, how did that end up there? It's illusion.
Some people think Jimmy Hoffa's in there.
The mind goes.
If only you had a big event coming up where you could unveil this to the public and have media coverage and a live radio broadcast.
All right, now wait a second. Now hold on. I gotta kill that particular theory here because Jimmy Hoffa disappeared in the 1970s.
Okay.
And this brickwork was not from the 1970s.
All right. So we're going to write that. We're going to check that one off the list.
Yeah, check that off. It's not Jimmy Hoffa. I'm just here to tell you. Okay. I'm as certain as A.B. Stoddard was that the Mueller report was not coming out today at 5 p.m.
7 minutes before. Yeah. She said that before it actually came out.
But I am certain that that's what, that's not it. But it could, it doesn't mean it's not something else or someone else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you do have a sense that there's something, there has to be something behind there.
Yeah.
All right. I would like the opportunity when I'm dressed in my spats and my, you know, zoot suit. And, you know, Frankie, do not laugh at me for this. Frankie cannot control his laughter right now.
No, thinking, he's just thinking, picturing you in a flapper costume.
Of the 21 of these things, I've probably hosted 15 of them, right? Hmm. How... And I've looked ridiculous for most of those.
Most, yes.
Yes, most. Right. Thank you.
When was
Thank
the
you.
Most ridiculous? Does anyone recall?
We told that Richard and I did this.
Which was that?
That's when the martini glasses, or it was champagne glasses, exploded in my hand and I ran. I ran like a 4-year-old child.
When Jim Cornelison sang at the high note and all the glasses explode, you and Richard ran for the, you like, ducked.
Getting out of here.
I just put you in front of me, Grant. I did not run. I used you as a shield.
There were squibs. Those were squib explosives that were in the glass. Designed to do that, to give the illusion that Mr. Cornelison had broken it with his voice. I'm sure he could have anyway. And we practiced it, and we went through the squibs. Except this particular squib went off like right next to my fingers.
Yeah.
And it's like having an M80 go off in your hand. You're like, oh my God, my hand, my hand.
That was that.
Yeah. You weren't the only one that hit. Tom Ricketts and Billy Corgan hid behind Steve McMichael too.
Good place to go. I'd run there too.
And you know what? Steve McMichael wasn't even there. That's how far they ran. All right, hold on 1 second. We'll come right back. The Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray, the 21st annual, is coming up on Wednesday at Harry Caray's. Do not miss this. Kinsey and Dearborn in Chicago. Come on out. There could be this unveiling of a dead body before you know. Is that some? That's got to be a violation of some sort. I don't know. Should we do that? Is it the absinthe talking, or should we do that?
I don't know. We can decide that day.
Okay. Now, let's have another drink and make the decision now and see what happens. All right, we'll come right back. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Rogue Democrats running for president have a lot to say about the release of the Mueller report.
All right, coming up in the newsroom, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, Kim Gordon will get you all caught up. The Mueller report has been handed over to the Attorney General, and she'll give you the reaction from all over Washington, D.C. about that. But just in the minute that we have remaining here, don't forget that coming up Wednesday, 4 to 7 p.m., the Worldwide Toast to Harry Caray at Harry Caray's, 33 West Kinsey in Chicago. Frankie, Chicago's favorite bartender. 600,000 people voted for that. So when the president goes, no one voted for it. Oh, they voted for Frankie.
They did.
Yeah. So you'd be invited to the White House. And Mr. Grant DePorter is here.
How about that?
And I know he's never, and this is, he's very, man. Very shy about publicity.
Hard to get him to the microphone.
It really is. And as you also know, he has been known to do things that, some would call major stunts. Like the blowing up of the Bartman ball. I mean,
they're
really
always exciting.
Coup. It's more of a coup. It's a scoop.
Yeah. But it's a legitimate scoop. But it's a spectacle. He likes spectacles. And now we might be onto a spectacle.
Oh my gosh.
Here for Wednesday. And I've never seen Grant so undecided about something.
I'm just wanting to see you break the bricks with your bare hands. If you can do that, I will let you do it. But you have to use no hammers or tools.
I'm in the basement. There's a false wall down there that they just found, and they're trying to figure out what's behind it. I was with Grant yesterday in the basement. He pulled a rag out from, I don't know where he got it, and he started pounding on the wall with this, you know, with his fist covered in a rag.
Jeez.
And I'm like, what kind of hell movie is this that we're doing here?
I didn't want to tear off all the skin, but it was, when you hit it, it does echo. It's like hitting a drum.
Right. There's something behind there.
We've been testing the enforcers lately, Ro. So
I did promise that if I ever opened it up and we find money, I'm going to split the money half with Frank Nitti's family.
Oh.
So about,
how about that?
About 10 members or 12.
Oh, I can't wait to tell my Aunt Mary Nitti about this. I've been waiting for years to hear you say that. A little bit about me you might not know.
I don't know.
A lot of
people just got the
claiming
test back where I spat in the thing. And it turns out I'm not Irish at all.
You know, thank God you're not giving it to sick kids. All right, hold on. You know what? We're going to have a hell of a time on Wednesday, are we not?
Yes. Did you talk about all the people coming? Like Robert Smigel with Triumph the
Triumph
puppet?
The
Insult Dog.
Comic Insulting.
Yeah, and breaking news, Bonnie Hunt's coming now.
Oh,
she's going to be there.
Wow. Bonnie Hunt, she's one of my favorites of all time. Will she be dressing up
in
the flapper?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And Ryan Dempster, does the best.
Bonnie and I are going to blow up the wall together. That's what we're going to do.
My money be on Bonnie to karate chop the
wall. Oh, she's so nice, the wall will just open up for her.
I'd like to Triumph do it.
All right.
Wow.
I poop on it. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Grant. That's Axe and the Hatchet Men. I cannot wait to hear more from them. They are not old enough to drink from the Carnival Wagon, but their music belies that fact because they're just incredible. I'm dying to hear from them. I intentionally read about them, but didn't listen to them because everybody here on staff is just like, they're outrageously talented.
So right there, they're doing a kick-ass new update on Love Potion Number 9, which was a hit way back, in the 60s, but giving it a whole new kicky sound, which is awesome. I never thought I wanted to dance to that song until now.
Until just now. We're going to talk with them. We're going to hear more from them. And that's coming up. We also, as Kim's been telling you, the Mueller report has dropped. It's in the hands of the Attorney General, William Barr. It's now up to him to decide how to boil it down for Congress. And he says he has issued a letter to Congress explaining that he will have the principal conclusions in their hands by the end of the weekend. Oh, so that's
I once submitted a report to principal conclusions who told me I needed to stay after. It should be fascinating.
Yes,
everybody's hoping to get a PDF at one point. Just open it up and there's the whole thing.
Well, you think about the Mueller situation. I know we got a lot to get to here. We got to go to movies. But 22 months, and really, out of all the things that leak in Washington, I had my suspicions that so much would leak out of that Mueller team. Just by not by any wishes of Mueller himself, but just the way things tend to leak. And nothing really did. Nothing of substance ever did. But now that it's in the hands sort of government, I think that's going to be a little different. So
yes, indeed.
We'll be hearing about it soon. But let's talk about something huge here. A movie. I'm actually shocked by how many people want to go see Us. People I know aren't even really fans of the horror genre, but it's already nearly setting records.
That's
for
right.
That genre.
And I keep hearing from people saying that they're going to check out Us. A lot of them, this is Jordan Peele, who gave us Get Out a couple of years ago, which got a lot of buzz, but people were shocked at how well it did. It was not expected to be a huge box office hit. He ended up winning the Academy Award for his screenplay and catapulted him into the next level of filmmakers. So people have been talking about Us and the trailer for this, which shows this middle-class African-American family in modern-day Santa Cruz, California, who one day see a family on their driveway standing outside their vacation home that look exactly like them, except for there's something really wrong with this version, including they seem to want to do some things with scissors that, will really hurt other human beings. But it really seems to be catching on with people who normally, as you mentioned, but there's always a built-in audience, especially younger people, that love to see any scary movie. It's always going to do, 15 million, something like that, its opening weekend. A week ago, three, 4 days ago, they were saying this movie might make $45 million. Now they're saying maybe $63 million. I think it's going to come closer to $90 million this weekend. The word of mouth, the advanced critical buzz. And by the way, I'm giving it 4 stars. I gave it, we talked about it yesterday.
I'm so excited.
A little
about
bit from the UC when we were out there.
You said that you personally were, and you've seen countless numbers of horror movies and things that are thrillers and would you mess with your mind and things like that. But you said this one you really got this.
And here's the thing. I mean, first of all, some people are saying there's been so much written about it, and people have come up with this term elevated horror. Well, to me, The Exorcist was elevated horror. So was The Shining. These are great movies that just happen to be in the horror genre. It from a couple of years ago, the Stephen King movie, which will have its sequel coming out, the second half coming out in just a couple of months. But it's a truly scary movie. I don't want people to think, oh gosh, I'm going to have to think through this whole thing. But if you'd like to spend some time kind of mulling it over, if you will, using the key variation of the
Mueller,
the word of the week.
Yeah, Mueller time.
There's a lot going there. Rokan actually mentioned yesterday, obviously, the title is Us, which is about a family, but it's also U.S. And there's a ton in here. And it's not a political movie. It's not an indictment of MAGA. It's not a, you know, a lecture about this current state of politics. It's
He's
more,
too good for that.
He is too good for that. It's more a commentary on the American dream and then the upside down part of the American dream, which would be the American nightmare. In more ways than one. So you think about this, the villains in this movie, the so-called villains, all look just like us, but they're like twisted versions, almost as if our shadows came to life and were tired of being shadows and wanted to come into the light. Because you think about that, and now good luck walking in the sunshine this weekend. Think about how rough that is for your shadow. Your shadow's always in the darkness. Your shadow always has to take your lead, even when it's in front of you. And just think what it would be like if your shadow could kind of speak for itself.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, his Get Out, you spoke on so many levels, right? Mm-hmm. It was the same kind of thing. But yeah. This one, you don't just walk away from it necessarily being horrified or scared.
Exactly.
You bring a little more from his movies.
Totally.
Than that.
There's a lot of humor in these films that, you know, you're allowed to laugh. And it's, you know, it's 2 hours long, which is not long, but it's just like Get Out. The buildup takes a while, which I always think makes it better. Because you follow this family as a real family and you believe in them. The mother, father, the teenage daughter, the little son. The dynamic is so universal. You know, all families can recognize that.
True.
And the same thing, if you think about Get Out, there was the whole thing where they came to visit the parents. We just thought it was going to be like a comedy of manners about a white liberal family going overboard to welcome their daughter's black boyfriend. Because that's how it started.
Surprised the heck out of me.
And then it became something completely different. Same thing here. And then there's some really cool, interesting things that happened in 1986. Where the movie kind of starts and then jumps forward, then we flash back and learn some things. So you'll have a lot of fun trying to piece the jigsaw puzzle together, but it's okay if all the pieces don't fit at the end. Because to this day, sometimes people are arguing about what really happened in The Shining or what really happened in some other horror movies. And that's okay, too. It doesn't have to all be tied up in a neat little bow.
What I find so remarkable is Jordan Peele and the turn he's taken from his roots in comedy that was really just amazing stuff that I enjoyed so much. And then he took this turn toward the horror world. And I heard him interviewed, and he said that there is such a fine line between horror and comedy. And that there's this, it's the same kind of eliciting emotions in both of those genres or both of those worlds really comes from this whole part of the brain where you try to say, what if? What if something, what if you lose your lunch in your bridal gown as we saw in Bridesmaids? Or if that creepy guy you saw is suddenly in your house? And it's sort of built upon.
That's a great point.
The same thing.
Well, when you think about it, a lot of comedies, if written in a different direction, would be horror movies. What if you were 7 years old and your family left you home alone over the course of a weekend and two burglars were trying to break in? That could be a horror film.
It could.
What if you woke up in Las Vegas with the world's worst hangover and a tiger in your room and you couldn't remember anything that happened the night before? That's the hangover movie. So when you think about it, those could be horror movies. It's just, what if you woke up every day and the same song by Sonny and Cher was playing and it was Groundhog Day again and again? That could be a Twilight Zone.
That could be an
Alfred Hitchcock Presents. It's just the matter of the execution of it. So I think that's a great point. Comedy and horror are a little closer than people
think.
On the surface.
And I'm super excited for his Twilight Zone. I know that's the next project for him.
We'll talk about that in a week or two because Jordan Peele is going to be the new, he's not only the producer, but he's going to be the Rod Serling. In other words, they're brand new Twilight Zone episodes, but he's going to be the guy standing there in a suit saying, imagine, Anna de Vlantes.
Oh my gosh, I just love the Twilight Zone.
Wait till you see the first few episodes of that.
Woo. All right, so 4 stars for us from Jordan Peele. Go see it. Don't bring the kiddos. Even if you're not necessarily a fan of horror, this may be a great movie for you to check out.
And get your snacks and your peeing out of the way. Ugh. Because if you leave 40 minutes into this for a break, you come back, you might be going, I don't know what happened. What's going on? You need to stay in your seat.
I like it. Can we talk about Aftermath? Keira Knightley?
Yeah, this is an interesting premise. This, I call these sometimes mom movies just because you could watch this, multi-generational. It's set in the immediate aftermath of World War II. And you always think, oh my gosh, how could they keep telling stories? Well, World War II, obviously the seminal event of the last century, and there are thousands of stories to be told. This is one of the ones that's not explored as much. It's set in Hamburg, Germany, about 6 months after the end of World War II. So the Allied forces are occupying Germany. The Brits in particular have taken charge of that particular city. The Germans, who were civilians, are not being held in concentration camps, but are in work camps. And they're trying to figure out a way to do a transition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but there still are some Hitler, loyalists out there, terrorist at this point, you know, causing trouble. But this really happened in real life. So Keira Knightley plays the wife of a British officer who's a colonel who's pretty much brought in to oversee the transition. They actually inhabit a huge house that was previously owned by German civilians. I think we have a clip setting that up.
This house is requisitioned for British use by order of the Control Commission.
This is jetzt Ihr Haus.
Aber wir haben uns.
There may not be an outward show of hatred, but it's there below the surface. Be careful, they're not like us.
During the war, did you ever hope for a German victory?
I wanted to go back to how it was. Miss my wife.
Ooh. So there you go. The German architect who owns the house, lives in the house, he lost his wife in the war. Keira Knightley plays the wife of the British soldier. They lost their son in the war. So they both have this, you know, obviously this seething resentment and almost hatred for their former enemies. They're not supposed to be enemies anymore. We're past the war, but there's still a lot going on. And then this colonel, this British colonel, he makes the worst mistake ever when there's a German guy who's an architect. He was not a Nazi, by the way. He was a civilian. And he looks like that Alexander Skarsgård guy. You don't invite him to stay in the house.
No,
and he invites him to stay in the house.
Bad idea.
You can live upstairs. We'll live downstairs. It'll be great. And oh, by the way, I got to go to the former Russian front to take care of some stuff.
No.
Will you look after my wife who looks like Keira Knightley?
No.
So you can see what's going to happen here.
Oh, boy.
And it's kind of ridiculous, Anna. Yeah. And, you know, because it becomes a soap opera. And I love the idea of not, you know, I love the idea. We admire the idea of the story. It's really interesting to see what was happening.
Music sounds beautiful.
In
maybe
Germany.
The scene painting.
Yeah. And, you know, Hamburg had been bombed out, you know, completely. That was part of the way. That was the war. London had been bombed, you know, years before that. So now Hamburg is a city that's completely destroyed. The German civilians, whether or not they were sympathizers with Hitler or not, these are not soldiers or members of the Nazi party. Right. These are men, women, and children who are now going to get on with their lives. But how do you do that? And they're rebuilding the city. They're kicking the rich people out of their homes while they, you know, kind of oversee the transition. All that stuff is interesting. And then the romance is just like out of a bad episode of General Hospital.
So, no.
2 stars.
2 stars.
Don't go see
Better
the aftermath. But
there.
It's one of those, you know, Keira Knightley always, she can dress up, you know, she's always doing different generations. She can do the Pirates movies and the Queenie movies and the modern movies.
Ton of range.
Yes.
All right, but we'll skip that one. The Hummingbird Project, just a minute here to talk about
that.
Okay,
real quick, the Hummingbird Project. This is another really interesting one. You'd think it was based on a true story. There was a true story sort of like this, but it's actually fictional. It's all about that fiber optic cable that traders use to bounce information back and forth. And if you can get literally a millisecond of an advantage over everyone else, it's like traveling forward in time. So Jesse Eisenberg, he plays kind of a similar character when he played Mark Zuckerberg in The Social Network. He plays a super smart guy who's maybe going to try to go around the law to figure out a way to get insider edge in trading. This movie also has that Alexander Skarsgård guy, but this time he's bald and unrecognizable. So he doesn't have an affair with anybody. I like the premise of this one, too. If you see this showing up on your Netflix queue, or I'm not sure if it's streaming, 2.5 stars. It's in theaters now. It'll be on home video soon. You can wait on that. Everyone's going to go see Us. There are some other choices out there. We also mentioned very quickly, too, The Highwaymen with Kevin Costner and Woody Harrelson. That would be my second choice for people to see this weekend, The Highwaymen.
That one looks awesome. And that's the one that's going to be on Netflix
in theaters right now. It'll be on Netflix next week.
Okay, so that's our schedule. Dying to see Us.
Thanks, Anna.
All right, we are going to take a break here, and we're going to be back with Live Music Fridays. We've got Axe and the Hatchet Men here. They're incredible. They're remarkable, and they're not even old enough to drink. And they're coming back. Let's check in with Kim now, see what's coming up bottom of the hour.
Anna, the Attorney General, mulling over what the public will see of the Mueller report.
All right, it is the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper is in with us here this last half hour, as Ro had to get away very quickly for something very important.
Exactly.
He will tell
us. It has something to do with some report that was issued about an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's just coincidence.
We don't ask.
No questions on that. But we are thrilled because Axe and the Hatchet Men are here.
Yeah.
They are unbelievably talented, and we're going to hear a little taste of them here and then come back and talk with them in a little bit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down. Take you in my arms. I'm in love with you. Love that is true. Boom, 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 boom. I like the way you walk.
like the way you talk. When you walk that walk, you talk that talk. You knock me out, right off of my feet. Come on now, baby. Shake it up, baby. Alright now, baby, shake.
Shake it, baby.
I don't mean maybe.
Shake it, baby.
Alright, baby. Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Come on now, baby, shake.
Shake it, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
Shake
it, baby.
I don't mean maybe.
Shake it, baby.
Alright, baby. Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
For my feet, I need you right now. Me right now. I don't mean tomorrow. Me right now. Come on, come on. Come on now, shake. Come on now, shake.
Shake it, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it, baby.
All right now, baby, shake.
Shake it, baby.
Well, I don't mean maybe.
Shake it, baby.
That's Axe and the Hatchet Men. Did we mention the lead singer, 15 years old, his bandmates, 14, 15, and 16 years old? They are incredibly talented. We're going to talk to them coming up, but first we're going to check in with Kim Gordon and get the news. It's sponsored by American Weathermakers.
Hey, I feel good. You. I feel nice.
That's Axe and the Hatchet Men, the lead singer, 15 years old. They're all in high school. Their musical talent ability belies their years. They are incredible. They've already played Hard Rock Cafe, Blue City Cafe, BB King's, and that was all in one day after they won a contest. We're going to ask them more about that. Richard, you've got more.
That's
about
so awesome.
Guys.
Yeah, I'm going to run down the list, mention all the greats here. Guys, I apologize in advance if I mispronounce anyone's name. First of all, we got to talk about the sound engineer. Billy Malone doing a great job. Axel Ellis, of course, he is the axe of
Axe
and the Hatchetmen. He's on the guitar and lead vocals out of Lakes Community High School. Salvatore DeFilippis is the guitarist from Warren High School. Hunter Olszewski, he's on the bass. He's from Warren High School. Logan Lake, drums. Oh, nice little drum solo we just heard during the boom boom there in Warren High School. Philip Stone, trumpet, Maine South High School. Tommy Wilcox, trombone, Maine South High School. Obviously, Maine South has some brass, if you know what I'm talking about. Quinn Dolan, he's on the sax from Warren High School. And Kenny Olszewski on guitar, Warren High School. Now, check this out, and everybody. Upcoming shows for Axe and the Hatchetmen. Let's get ready to rumble! March 29th, Big Ed's Barbecue. That's in Gurnee at 7 o'clock. March 30th, the Brat Stop in Kenosha.
Woo.
I didn't think the Brat Stop could get any cooler, but now it is. That will be March 30th, and then April 13th at Jay's Sports Bar in Fox Lake at 8:30, and then April 20th, the Beacon Tap in beautiful Des Plaines.
I got to check out the Brat Stop in Kenosha. Doesn't that just sound perfect with these guys playing? It's like a perfect day. Let's talk to Axe, the lead singer of Axe and the Hatchetmen. And Axe, tell us about how this all feels to get this level of success at this age. You're 15 years old, and you guys are incredible, by the way.
Thank you so much. I'd first like to thank you guys for having us on. It's a blessing to be here. We're just super psyched to be here playing on WGN. It's amazing. I feel honored.
Well, you sound great. And like, how did you all know each other? I mean, you're just so gifted in your individual instruments that it's just amazing you found each other at this age. How did that happen?
Well, I kind of found Sal, who's one of the guitarists, over Instagram. He goes to a school near me. And he hooked me up with a few other band members who go to his school. And that's how we got that portion of the band.
Okay.
And then the horn section, we're actually all, every member in this band is in jazz bands, whether it's at our high school or at a conservatory.
Okay.
Yeah, so me and the horn players and the drummer, Logan, we're all at Midwest Young Artists Jazz Conservatory in Fort Sheridan. So I kind of met them through that. And through there, we became friends and started this band.
All right.
And through that mutual love then, Axel, of jazz and that sound, that's how you guys came to this kind of music, which obviously is from generations ago, but you guys are putting a modern touch on it.
Yes. I've been playing in bands since I was like 9, so I've had a few bands before this. But yeah, all these guys, we all share the same love of many similar genres, so we try and fuse that all into what we're hoping to try and create our own sound with.
There's one thing I want to mention about the bio of you guys. It's a uh-huh. really neat story, but at one point, and this involves, by the way, this is going to be a little bit about some of the inner workings of the band, but at one point, you had somebody that they said couldn't continue with the band because they had other obligations. What are the obligations at 14? Did he have to take out the garbage that
school?
Night?
School? I mean, that's one. You're kind of busy. What was his deal?
Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin. There's always one lost band member, right?
He's, he was, you guys are talking about Kevin, right? Mm-hmm. He was he's a senior now. So he's going into college next year. I think he had too much on his plate.
Said
and
he was
focused.
Too busy
he couldn't
with school.
Do it. Yeah, and yeah. I respect that. So
all right, now who's
you gotta respect that. But listen, yeah, when you guys are gonna be in, you know, when you do the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony when you're 43, at least invite him to sit with your folks and everybody. There,
you have to.
Throw
don't
him a
don't
bone.
Forget about Kevin. Don't forget about us either, because I know how that works. Because you guys are young and everything. Like, oh yeah, I think I was there once, and we'll look forward. Who's Kevin?
And by the way, keep an eye on Logan, because the drummer's always the one that starts causing the trouble, saying,
oh, yeah.
Why does it have to be Axe and the Hatchetmen?
Let's talk to Logan. Logan, step up there. Are you the troublemaker in the band? I know you got to walk over there, and we're calling you out without you even knowing that, but I just, you know, let's get a little flavor.
He thinks there should be a drum solo in every song.
It's like,
sorry, what was that?
What's it like to be part of this band? Are you having fun, and are you the troublemaker?
The drummer's usually the guy that causes a little trouble.
No, I'm not a troublemaker.
That's what he
says.
Yeah.
A lot of laughter. There'll be stories we can tell after you guys are 27, maybe.
How about how it was to play at the Hard Rock really quickly, and then we want to listen to you a little more.
It was absolutely amazing. Just like the vibe of the whole place, just playing in Memphis in general was just a huge blessing.
Ah, I love it. You guys are amazing.
Cool.
Let's listen a little more to Axe and the Hatchetmen. Boys, take it away. Oh, we got to let the drummer get back over to his position. You need drums, right? So let's give him a little moment here to switch over. And when you guys are ready, let's hear it.
All right, we're going to be playing in an original that we just finished up putting together with the band a couple months ago. It's called Sleeping in My Jeans. It's about having a long night, and by the end you wind up sleeping in your jeans. I know I'm only 16, so I don't know if I have the right to even be singing about that, but here it goes. Sleeping in My Jeans. 1, 2, 3. Well, I woke up in my old blue jeans. I saw your name on my lock screen. Send me a text that I'll probably never read. Stumble to the kitchen to find something to eat. But I don't know what happened last night. And I'm in a daze and I don't know what's wrong or right. But you and me and us went out last night and we really loved that scene. And I hope that I can out of this party for now. I know that tonight I'll be sleeping in my jeans. Whoa, 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 whoa. My life began when I drove to your place. Outside some park in the field, I sat in the haze. We'll turn to lights change, we're finally on our way. I feel so happy, I wish I could feel this day today. Open my eyes and I can see for the first time. I'm guilty, but I know I kinda like that pain of mine. But you and me and us went out last night and we really loved that scene. And I hope that I can make it out of this party for now. I know that tonight I'll be sleeping in my jeans. I'll be sleeping in my jeans. Brightest lights I've ever seen. Well, I was boneless, I could fly with my new wings. Don't know what name, but damn, I knew her for the night. Oh, 'cause we're just some kids in the prime of our teen lives. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. But you and me and us went out last night and we really loved that scene. And I hope that I can make it out of this party for now. I know that tonight I'll be sleeping in my jeans. I'll be sleeping in my jeans. I'll be sleeping in, oh, I'll be sleeping in my jeans. Oh, 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 oh. I'll be sleeping, I'll be sleeping, I'll be sleeping in my.
Axe and the Hatchet Men, you guys.
I'm blown away over here.
Can you believe it, Lauren?
Oh, my gosh. So now, good.
Axe is 15. And
I know.
Can everybody, and you guys are 16, 14, somebody. Timmy's 14, I hear, right?
Yeah,
is that
Timmy's
right?
14.
Does everybody, so Timmy doesn't even drive yet, right?
No.
How'd you guys get here?
Well, Mama. I mean, I actually drove here. I'm 16. I just turned 16 recently, but
The old man of the group.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not really. I'm one of the youngins, actually. Timmy's 14. He's a freshman. Phil's 15. He's a sophomore. And the rest of us are all juniors, 16 and 17.
Gotcha. Well, we're so happy you guys found each other because your sound is just remarkable. Our listeners are loving it. We're loving it. Can we hear one more from you here, guys? Introduce it. Let us know.
Yeah, for sure. Here's another original that just came out. We just finished making a few days ago. This one's called Silhouette. So who do I go to when I'm lonely and I need you? I lay my head on a silhouette. My bed, my busy schedule's edible, time expendable. I've spent it all on you too. And I'm sorry, but priority still lies higher than you. And I know that you want me, babe, but I just don't have that time to waste. Oh. Na 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 na. Why am I so lonely in the middle of a party with all my friends around me? Maybe I speak too softly. And I'm breathing every day, but my head is all decayed and my life dying on display. But and you're watching my demise, you got a rope around my neck, and I'm just crying in my bed. Cause, and I know you don't want me, babe, but I just don't have that time to make you stay. Oh, na 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 na. Here we go.
Watch this in person.
What do you think, Lauren?
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to start telling everybody so that they start going to all these shows.
Right.
And the Hatchetmen.
Oh, let's talk about that. March 29th, Big Ed's Barbecue in Gurnee. March 30th, Brat Stop in Kenosha. And that just sounds like fun, doesn't it? Oh, my gosh. April 13th, Jay's Sports Bar in Fox Lake. April 20th, Beacon Tap in Des Plaines. So go see him. They're Axe and the Hatchetmen. Men, live music Fridays. Axe, so you guys are hitting the road, going to tour around a little bit. And then what's next for you guys?
That'd be nice. Next is the shows you all mentioned, actually, realistically.
Yeah, that's a lot.
They've got
there.
Tests and stuff coming
how do you,
up. You know?
Yeah, how do you prepare for like SATs and exactly. stuff like that? How does that work?
I practice the guitar, and then I take the test.
Okay. You sound like a real musician there, my friend.
Not really. Well, thank you for sharing your talents with us. People can
great
connect
job,
with
guys.
You on social media. How do they find you?
You can find us on Instagram and on Facebook at Axe and the Hatchet Men. No spaces on Instagram, but spaces on Facebook.
Awesome stuff. Thank you, Axe. Thanks to the Axe and the Hatchman. You want one more thing you want to say real quick?
Yeah,
we only have a second here.
Also, before we go, I'd like to thank Susie Onesti and 1126 Entertainment. Because of the Battle of the Bands at Evanston Rocks that we ended up winning, we got to play here today. So
cool.
We're
awesome.
Super honored for them.
So. Well, we're super honored to have you. So thanks, guys. Let's check in here with the top of the hour, see what's coming up in the news, and Andrea Darlis.
And another longtime Chicago politician throws his support behind Lori Lightfoot. That's coming up at 7.